Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 5th anniversary. This is Austin Theory, and you're listening to WrestleCast Radio all day.
Hey, hello to all my friends of WrestleCast Radio. This is Flip Gordon, and I'm very excited to introduce you to one of my favorite wrestling radio shows.
Hey, what's up, guys, from WrestleCast Radio. This is Humberto Carrillo, WWE Superstar.
You are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
El Latino está en la casa, baby. Welcome to WrestleCast Radio.
Hello there, this is the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, coming from you live from the Tokyo Dome in Japan. And you are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
What's going on? This is the man of the hour, Leo Rush, the 24-year-old piece of gold himself. And you are officially listening to WrestleCast Radio.
Shit. Time to get down, y'all. Time to get down, get funky. With your boy, Two Cold Scorpio. Get ready to open up this show live right here on the WrestleCast Radio. That's right. So if y'all already don't know, now you know. This is your boy, Two Cold, and I'm ready to get funky. So everybody out there, turn it up. Let's do this.
Damn it. I just saw a hidden blade that just killed somebody. Episode 227. Alex, I'm not done either with
Is it Josh Alexander? Is that on now?
I'm watching the Osprey Umino. Because that was what I didn't get to finish. But that's what I got. I got you, babe.
For that I was telling someone today, I was like, yeah, man, I cried. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, I cried watching a wrestling match that I knew what the outcome would have been, but the story within the story, and if you know who these guys are, I was like, just amazing. Like that's when you know pro wrestling is the art. That is why we love it. You know, why we talk about this, why we've been doing this for 6 years, why we've been doing this for 10 plus years, 12 years plus knowing each other. Like, hey, Royal Rumble, you know, like, that's why it's such a niche, like, and hobby and everything. But it's just like the people that get it, they get it. Like when I wore my random I told you this, the Evil, when he joined the Bullet Club, it was Darkness Club, and I was wearing the shirt in like Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The dude was like, tight shirt, man. I was like, nice. And then we did the Too Sweet, because, you know, that's the thing of, you know, gestures of like, hey, we're brothers, we're cool, you know. And yeah, it was just, it's crazy.
You said it was the lockup in the R zone where neither of us had spoken much to each other, just kind of like, who's this fucking guy? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, the Royal Rumble. And I was like, ah, Christian's coming back. And you're like, are you a mark? And you had that look on your face, like, excuse me? Do you read dirt sheets? And then you hear Whitney Houston and start playing in the background shit.
For you dreams are made of, man.
It's like when I told you I got back from TwitchCon, and that dude's like, hell yeah, nice hoodie. And I was like, let's go Julia. And he's like, she deserved number two, man. Damn right. Should have been number one, but I can't argue with Ripley, I guess. But
hey, number one in our hearts. Number one in our hearts.
Thank you. I was talking to Luke, who tomorrow, Luke and Elijah will be with us for Sportscast tomorrow.
Another twofer. Are you guys splitting it up?
No, we're gonna just run the whole thing. I don't know. I think there's a couple segments I'm sure that Luke won't know for boxing, and there might be a couple things that I don't know if Elijah's gonna talk about. But we're gonna make it work. It's gonna be fun. But nice. When I was talking to Luke, and I had shown him Julia Ciori. When she gave Ciori basically a hammerlock Northern Lights driver to win the title and about killed her, it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, it looks like Julia might end up in the E. And his first words were, Shawn Michaels is going to shit his pants when he does that to one of those cheerleader chicks. And I was like, yeah, he's probably going to be like, who brought her here?
Who came to, you know, upshow my talents?
Alex,
how
Bobby,
dare he?
There's been so much good wrestling over the last 2 weeks. That, well,
yeah.
I guess technically since the 28th of October, since we missed a week here. But my goodness, I have 5 shows written on the docket here for us to not even match by match discuss per se, but just kind of talk about just the general state of the companies and the shows, I think, because as we get to the end of the year, I think it's a perfect point, especially with our end of the year awards coming soon here,
yeah.
to just look at. I think we got to preview Full Gear for Saturday just because.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
AEW's in such a weird influx of. It's the best wrestling I watch almost every week. Like, I love a half of it, and then I hate half of it now. But
yeah.
I can't wait for the pay-per-views because just like ROH, the pay-per-views always deliver, like we always talk about. And I'm really intrigued to see is like, how much are they hyping up for these big announcements that are going to happen or we're assuming is going to happen? Like, I feel like this card is going to be a big make or break going into 2024 if they can continue to deliver on these promises and announcements that they make, or if it's going to be one of those things where we're just like, well, that sucked, and then it's just frustration. And I think the best way to put it, and maybe we go into Full Gear first here and then, you know, jump in after this year. But I used the opening that I did with the Cole and MJF thing because I think that's where the consensus from not just us, but a lot of people in the media, a lot of Discords I read, a lot of Twitter things I read, a lot of podcasts I listen to, kind of when some of the grumbling started to take place. You know, you bring up the ticket sales a lot and the TV. I've brought up some of the creative. I feel like when this entity went together is when the whole shit changed. And I was thinking about that today. And I was curious your thoughts on that.
When it stopped, like it just seems like rehashes of not only the superstars that we grew up with over the last 25 plus years that are back on our screens, on the alternative, you know, that they promised to be. I think that gets a little murky, you know, and then you get random, you know, like you would always complain over the years, like, oh, who watches a TV like that in the back on Monday Night Raw, or who just randomly talks in a sentence like this and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're just seeing that more and more on AEW, where the WWE, you know, they know they're a soap opera. They know they're 90% segments and interviews, 10% wrestling, because they're entertainment. It's the storyline aspect. And, oh, yeah, we'll save it for the pay-per-views. Where before it was like, oh, we get storylines and we get this in AEW, stuff that can stretch out a couple of months and then they'll have a blow-off if they can't wait a full quarter, you know, for the quarterly pay-per-views. You know, now they have more, obviously. But, like, now it just seems like, all right, we sold a decent amount of tickets, or even before, like, they had the excuse of, we sold out. We don't have to, you know, deliver anything. We still are. But now it just seems like it's the reverse. It's like, we're not selling, but we're not really going to give you kind of everything that you're maybe expecting in some different ways. And it's so hit or miss with me now, where I used to love Collision. And now it's just like, I'll do the 5-minute fast forward. If something catches my eye, great. If I see something online, I'll go back and watch it on my, you know, giant television. Other than that, I'm like, you know, like,
we were just talking about.
There's just so
Collision.
Many things in flux.
Look at Danielson and Starks in that strap mat. Or no, that was on the pay per view. But like when Danielson was having that run every Saturday with like Starks and stuff, it was we're like, oh my gosh, this is so good.
But then guess what? He gets hurt, and then that momentum slows down. And then it's like all of a sudden, Pirate Danielson's in the back hyping up another tournament from All Elite Wrestling. For what? I don't know. Are we going to see matches from it? Yes, we are. In a few weeks in Minneapolis, come check us out at the Target Center Wednesday night. AEW Dynamites, 11/29/2023. And I don't know. I was so confused. And he's like, the first participant, Brian Danielson. And I was like, you're going to rush this guy again? A broken orbital bone for some 12-minute TV matches? Just rest. Build someone else. You can get other technical wrestlers. I don't even know what this tournament's supposed to be for. Do they get an international title shot? I have no idea. I just hope we get to see Samoa Joe beat some ass.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it's going to fully go and turn coming out of this show, because
it's an interesting show. Like you know, like All Out, we're like, I don't know how this is going to go. You know, we just had All In, and it was a good show. You know, I look back on it, I'm like, yeah, like 70% of it was awesome. In this, it's just, it's a lot of rematches. And what was the one thing AEW said? We are never going to do this. I mean, not ever, but it's like, we're not going to make this a thing like the other show and just have rematch after rematch. And I count 1, 2, 3. I'm sure that happened one time on Rampage. At least 4 rematches within a pretty close, you know, time from what we're getting on Saturday. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe if Paige gives me some of that weed that he stole from Prince Nana, maybe I'll enjoy the show a little more. Why the hell are we having another Texas Death Match? I guarantee, Ryan, this is the 7th of 2023 from this company. That's either Texas Death or a Texas Death Match. But what does that have to do with California? With Swerve and Hangman Page, just call it a hardcore match. Just call it a Laker. I have no idea, but you don't need
a Laker match.
But there are matches where I'm like, is Sheeta just going to be your transitional champion yet again? And then when she wins her 4th defense, it's like, they're going to do another t-shirt. And it's like, well, but you've been a transitional champ minus, you know, the COVID era and whatnot, which she's a hell of a wrestler, but it's got to be Toni Storm, right?
Yeah.
Like you've been building it up and there's just so much shit on this show. The Jericho Omega thing, I don't even get a shit. Like, why are the Bucks mad? I haven't watched Being the Elite in quite some time, so I'm sure every backstory is in there for this match. But the Winnipeggers, just let them be a team. Like, Matt and Nick Jackson, I don't know if they're just playing to the marks or whatnot for them being prissy bitches. But, man, that's all they are sounding like during this quote-unquote feud that just randomly was thrown together because I thought the Elite were okay. Bullet Club is fine. But I don't know. And then there's matches where I'm like, the 3-way TBS championship, that could be a dark horse. Like, is this going to be worth $50? Like, that's the thing.
Well, every one of these shows always end up, they for some reason, they just decide to do something different. You know, and make things work. I mean, it's a 9-match show.
Mm-hmm.
I guess here's where I'm looking at it is like, We have MJF and the dreaded TBA, so it's a matter of, okay, who's going to be his partner? You know, I said I think they should bring in Alexander Hammerstone or like Richard Holiday or something like that, one of his old Dynasty guys. Who knows who that's going to be? Might be Samoa Joe because they're pointing it on TV. I couldn't tell you. They're talking about this big signing that who knows what that's going to be. Did I text you that blurb that I got from doing some digging yesterday that I sent?
I believe you did, yes.
Doof asked me to do some digging, and I did. What I got was there's a thought that it could be Dolph Ziggler because he could tell TKO that he's good on getting no checks, and then his NCC is void. Monet is a thought because Hayter apparently is above the schedule to return, so it could be setting up 2024. There's a small chance it could be a Ronda Rousey type.
That would be insane, honestly.
Moxley's pushing for Sami Callihan, so it could be Callihan. And then I think there's a good chance, too, they just announce it's Will Ospreay, and then that way they talk about Wrestle Kingdom being his farewell tour, even though it won't be, because if he's in AEW, he's going to work New Japan anyway.
I was about to say, does that I mean, what does it do with that partnership? They're like, well, I mean, maybe it's just like, hey, we'll take over the contract and you can have them three times a year.
Yeah, I mean, know, it's, maybe. I mean, it's definitely.
Because I was about to say, like, if his contract's not up till February, how does that affect their relationship? Like, we're going to announce it, you know? Because isn't that technically tampering? But again, it's the wrestling business, so, you know, anything can happen. But, I mean, if it's Ospreay.
If New Japan's in on it, too. You know, then
correct,
it's then it's just, hey, we'll just do this now so you guys can have the big announcement. You know, and maybe it is because maybe they're, the whole point is New Japan's like, look, you can have them. That's totally cool. We'll still use them. But we're going to have David Finley win at the Dome anyway. So he's just going to beat your two guys.
Oh, my God. That was the worst.
I'm watching where he took the middle part of the title out right now.
Yeah, that fucking nerd. Oh, that was so lame. But like,
but I mean, like,
okay, so the biggest
Moxley from working over there
are the biggest pops. Like, I mean, Ziggler. I mean, let's be real. He is a technical legend. Like, what he's done for damn near 20 years in the business.
That's gimmick and friends of his.
He's a good hand, if you will. Well done. I apologize, sir.
No, that was fantastic.
But, I mean, obviously he could still go. I don't know if you bring him in with his brother. Will he be MJF's partner? That would be weird. I don't know, but it would be something that they would do randomly. But I'm just trying to think of what gets the biggest pop out of these options. Like, they're going to get pops because that's what AEW crowds do when there's a new signing at all these. Hell, we're guilty of it multiple times, live and in person. But, like, Monet would be, is she the biggest one? I mean, if Ospreay, because I think that's just in the bag, isn't it? Unless the E literally throws them, like, $4 million
look,
in, like,
you
2 months
get
off
into
a
that
year.
When you want to get to that Ospreay free agency talk, I will give you some very disappointing thoughts that's going to make both of us sad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's going to NWA?
NWA Sam Hain or whatever.
Sam Hain.
By the way,
lose a contract to air your company because of... ECW guy, a Smoky Mountain guy, doing cocaine with, what'd you say his name is, Sam the Gimp?
It was Sal the Pal and Gags the Gimp were doing cocaine with Sinister Minister and some whores that were drinking Jack Daniels.
The Sinister Minister. Yeah, and then
we can break
what,
that
a week later? Week later, NXT is going to be on the CW network, and the NWA will be on their app. Still probably more coverage than where they're at now.
Yeah.
But back to AEW, like, I mean, there's a lot of contracts coming up. I know you feel 110% confident that Warner Brothers loves them, you know, this and that. But then I read where, you know, they're like, oh, our focus now is the NBA. Like, if we can get them for multiple times, you know, and just all this other, you know, possibilities where it's like, well, AEW is not bringing in numbers where an NBA game would probably bring and more lucrative advertisements, I'm sure, from the NBA than AEW would give. And I think them probably seeing the talk within the last couple of months about this company. And with WrestleNomics, you know, with Brandon Thurston saying, like, he's not confident that they've made any profit,
mm-hmm.
you know, at all. And then when you think of how much Tony Khan spent for Ring of Honor and how that just is, it's sad to say, you know, we've gotten some great pay-per-views, but who watches the show? It's just,
yeah,
like, dark. And the shitty thing about it is you had all your ROH people on Dynamite. While you were running your ROH show, you never made it special. Yeah, Kingston will have a 5 to 8 minute match because he's the ROH champion, but no one gives a shit. Like, that's the thing about it. And, the guy
you
is stretching
himself out. You have Honor Club,
and
I didn't even get the login from you is how much we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, think of that. Like, that's, like, we have, between the two of us, we got, like, every subscription minus Big Japan, which, once again, if you're listening, Big Japan Corps, if you would be current, I would have subscribed to you 5 years ago to watch Masashi Takeda and Fuminori Abe and Takuya Nomura and Daisuke Sasaki and Yuji Okabayashi and so on and so forth. I'll even put up with motherfucking Daichi Hashimoto going, the whole time. But you're, like, 5 months behind. Point proven. I mean, for a while there, you still had progress. That hadn't been a thing for years. And we still don't go about trying to watch the ROH TV show. You know, I mean, think about that. Like, that's how far in the back burner that is, that TV show is. It's just, it's off the radar, you know?
Do you think the only thing, you know, besides getting Claudio, I mean, I thought a pretty awesome title reign. You know, I'm happy he was a champion, like a world champion. After, you know, many times of deserving it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Great very run, like I said, a really good reign, you know, especially and he, you know, as I just complained about, you know, you didn't separate the brand, but at least he was affiliated, you know, with a pretty damn awesome top faction, you know, that kind of showcased, like, we're the technical best. Didn't say the L word, but they were the best, and we're going to prove it, and we're going to beat your asses. Like, that was awesome. And then now it's just like, all right, well, no one's a champion anymore, so, like, why is this club still around? So Yuta could take the pin, but I don't know. It's interesting, man. Like, I'm looking at this show, and like you said, you know, it's going to be pretty damn good. Damn, he got knocked out. But sorry, guys, we're playing catch up here. But, like, I don't know. Like, I liked how they ended with Jay White and MJF with the promo. You know, it was a sweet spot, even though it felt rushed. They're not even meeting their time marks, Ryan. Have you noticed that? Like, it's just, I don't know if your DVR is set for on time, but I've had to, like, put it over 10 minutes now. Because sometimes might
they're trying
last
to get that
even longer. And,
they're trying
well,
that
like,
illustrious overrun.
But then they better start announcing that or getting it in with the company. Anyways, I don't know. I thought it was a pretty effective promo, but it's just like my whole thing too is like MJF should have won that belt back, you know, within that 8-man tag, you know, kind of going in as champion. Cause otherwise, like, he hasn't even had his I don't know. I get it. It's a prop. He's involved with 7 storylines, but as I sound frazzled, it's because thinking about what this company has done within the last 3 weeks alone, just makes me so, you know, discombobulated.
A lot of people say that MJF is controlling his own booking, and he basically is making everything, and he's getting approved to do all that. Like, everything has gone through him.
Yeah.
I was somebody who preached that when MJF becomes a babyface, he's going to be the biggest babyface in wrestling. And I can confidently say that I do think he might be the biggest babyface in wrestling. That's not, I'm not trying to argue that, but what I'm concerned about is what I asked for. I kind of am regretting that I asked for it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Because, like, he's mocking, or not mocking, he's just doing your 80s babyface gimmick.
Yeah, he's doing what he loves, which is fine. You know, he did it as a heel doing the Piper. You know, I get it. That's totally fine. But I don't know, man. Some of the it's too New York to me.
Okay, yeah.
That I am just not as into it as I was.
Do you think that's his tryout in a way to say, hey, I can adapt to you guys? You don't have to.
No.
You don't have to
I still to this day am saying that this dude was under a contract last year. He's not a free agent. That's not. They don't even talk about that anymore because Ospreay's a real free agent. That's a bigger deal. Like, it was a big deal when you're a heel to talk about it, but until I see this guy actually getting his contract is truly up, and I see him leaving like Cody did, he's a professional liar. That's what pro wrestlers are. You know, I am a professional liar at times, Alex. I'll tell you.
Oh, that. Yeah.
But
does his contract end on the 1st then of January?
Who?
MJS in 20.
No,
in
I'm telling you, I am confident that when
no,
they
I get
put
that,
the
but
tight,
I'm saying in theory, is his contract over? Do you know on the 1st?
No, I'm pretty sure he's re-upped for like 5 more years is what I'm saying.
No, I get that, but I'm saying...
if he didn't resign?
Correct. If he did not resign, is his contract up on the first?
I bet you it's like quarter one.
Because if it is, then it would make sense for Jay White to keep this title, to then beat MJF for the title. Because this devil thing, which I don't, Sasha Banks, apparently, I have no idea. Anyways, if that happens,
Snoop
or the chairman, I heard is the latest possibility, Sean Spears.
Now, I wouldn't hate that because I thought his heel stuff was actually not that bad. I don't think he's ever going to be a main eventer, but if you want to try to do something different to push him, I don't dislike that.
It's something fresh. It's something different. It's a nice little mini feud. They have the history. Obviously, they were in the faction.
His name never crossed my mind until you said it. That's why I like it. That would get me. I would be like, oh shit. You know, okay.
I mean,
put it together then. If you want to go that kind of a route, which I like,
yeah,
is Ethan Page with him? Is Scorpio Sky with him?
No, by himself. Ethan Page, though, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. Oh, you meant with the other guys.
Like his henchmen.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great way to bring some of those guys back.
Yeah, but then...
I have missed Scorpio Sky.
I thought he was injured again.
Oh, fuck me. Probably.
Like you came back and you made this gimmick, like I'm coming on Collision, and then like I thought he got hurt, like second match back.
Collision. Yeah, like okay.
And Ethan Page is on Ring of Honor. I know that, and I'm like, this is just weird to see him on Ring of Honor when we know he's good and he should be flourishing at least on Rampage, which he was for a while.
Okay, let me ask you this: aside from what we know is going to be everything. I don't think there's any match on this show that is below 3 stars, minus maybe if the TBS championship match doesn't surprise, like you think it might, which I think it has an opportunity to really do exactly that, where it could shock people or it could be a train wreck. I think there's no like middle ground. But if you look at this card, like, I mean, maybe Sheeta and Tony Storm, I don't know. There could be shenanigans. It's just, I hate that that's what they're doing with Mariah May after bringing her over, because I think she's really talented. And
they're doing
the
whole Mickey James, Trish Stratus thing.
Oh, yep. And she, I mean, we saw her coming last November to Crab Penis, Club Venus over there with Venus Shirakawa.
Oh,
like,
Mina, we pray.
We both, you know, said, wow, this girl is a smoke show, but can she work? You know,
and
you get 6 months later, you're like, holy shit, this girl could work. Like, this is a great, another great Rossi Ogawa signing. Just like Tekla bringing her in, like shit like that. Like another Julia, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. Another great signing. And then, okay, wow, oh wow, okay. Do you want me to throw something in the air that not one person has said has no ties to this company, but would be the biggest shocker if they did it?
Yeah.
What if the big signing is Julia and nobody even sees it coming?
Woo! If they do that, man, is Rossi pissed?
No, because that's just Rossi and that's just New Japan Stardom Bushiroad working with AEW.
True. So she can kind of do that at any time.
That's the first. Or what if and spoiler, I guess, for DDT, but what if it was the man in the main event who dropped the title to Yuki Ueno? What if it's Chris Brooks? Wouldn't that fuck?
That would be nice, but I mean, would the people pop?
I think they would at a pay-per-view like that. The one advantage they have going, if they bring in somebody who's not like a WWE superstar type person, is AEW pay-per-view cards are marked crowds. We know that.
Marks,
10,000 people bought a ticket to Full Gear, and I guarantee you 90% of them are listening to us, listening to a podcast like us, or reading websites that talk about the shit we're going to talk about.
good international hub, obviously, with LA, so you're definitely going to get, you know, some foreign fans that will definitely know and respect Chris Brooks. I mean, that would be dope. Thanks for spoiling DDT, but, I mean, that makes sense. But
I would have got to it in an hour. anyway.
But, no, I wouldn't be against that. But I don't know. I think it's got to be – I think Mercedes Moné – with it being her quote unquote adopted hometown, you know, the land where her cousin is from. I think that gets one of the biggest pops that company's seen in a while.
Just came in here. AEW talent themselves are speculating this week between a number of talent, including Mercedes Moné. Though we've heard as far back as August that there were working plans for the two sides to work together, the plan isn't to announce her this weekend at Full Gear, if possible, in the company, if people in the company are to be believed. Several had stated that when asked, it was indicated that the Full Gear announcement is not Mercedes.
Interesting.
And this was as of 2 hours ago.
I just think to set up for a AEW woman, like a new era of women's, I mean, she could go against Shida or Storm.
Yeah.
Either match, I'm all like, here's my money. But yeah, maybe you don't need to bring her in November, you know, depending on the injury. I know the boots has been spotted to be off as well. She, of course, tweeted, can't wait to see you guys next year, which again makes me think like, maybe. But I think Moné, the Julia thing didn't even cross my mind because, you know, with the rumors of her going to the Performance Center, what, next week or was it this week she was supposed to be down there? And that blew my mind. What are your thoughts on that possibility of Julia going to the dark side?
Like, I understand why you would do it because she has that appeal that I think would work over here very well.
Oh, God.
She has gone from, you know, here, you know, she leaves Ice Ribbon with, you know, her and Tequila had those tag titles that I told you. I said, this girl's got something, man, over here. She'll never get exposure in Ice Ribbon. And she breaks out, comes in at the end of 2019, I think it was in Stardom. Cause it was 2020 when the unfortunate why can't I think of her name now? Hanakamura was, right? Was that 2020 or 2021?
That might have been 20. Continue. I'll check it out.
But, you know, so May 23rd, 2020. So they had their feud, and you could tell she was, you know, she was still green. She's learning. You know, you fast forward to the end of the year. Obviously, she has her issue with, you know, Hanakamura. The unfortunate thing happens. And then we see Tam Nakano, who then has her feud that, you know, that she had going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was doing all her shit with.
It kind
of
put both of those women to the forefront.
Arisa Hoshiki retired. That's the word I was at, retired. So Hoshiki retires, vacates the title. Julia wins the title at the Cinderella show from Tam. That was the wish. And then they go, you know, they go next year to the March Cinderella show, hair versus hair, goes all the way. Then you fast forward all the way, you know, to this year with your, you know, match of the year, arguably.
Fuck yeah.
You know, where Tam beats Julia. So, you know, they've ran a 3-year feud going now, which ironically was Mariah May was on the commentary for, which I always think is great. She did so much to that company in a short time, but
yeah,
you know, every year she just improved and improved and improved and improved. And I think it's logical with Kyrie going back because Triple H is not going to screw it up and make her, you know, some dumb, I don't know, basically what they did with Sari. But using her as the example, Sari was rumored to be going back, big time deal, yada yada. No, she ended up just going to do that
American
Joshi.
Yeah,
that Asia Kong's the commissioner of, and you know, Arisa Nakajima's the champion, I think. Or no, it's Unagi Sayaka is the champion there. But
wasn't Asia Kong just in your old neck of the woods?
Yeah, she was at North High School, the Polars, over by Rocco's.
Oh, man.
So is Masato Tanaka. The first guy I meet in Japan is at North High School last weekend.
That's wild.
But everybody was like, oh, she's going back to the E. She's going back to the E. Well, nothing ever came confirmed. It was all speculation. She ended up not doing that. Julia, she's going to the E. She's going to the E. It's all speculation, but it hasn't happened yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, who knows if it really does happen.
I think the speculation also garnered a little more fire because it was all like, oh, Jay Cargill, she's saying, I love AEW. I love Tony Khan. And it's like, hey, rumors are Triple H really wants Jay Cargill on the roster. And then, you know, within the last second, or maybe it was already a done deal and she was just being political, which wouldn't surprise me, you know, is then, hey, she's at the E. And then, boom, to get other prospects to enhance this women's division even more, we're going to make her, just like we did with Cody as well, make them seem like a big star. And then, you know what? We're going to bring back Kairi Sane. And then we're going to do, you know, all this other stuff and still, you know, have Io Sky as a prominent figure. And then, you know, just I like what they're doing with the women's division in the E a little bit more in AEW, crazy enough. Even with Becky Lynch kind of out of that spotlight there, it just seems a little bit more enjoyable, but also it just seems like the talent, like they know not to mess it up. So I think Julia with that presentation and her and Cargill and give it like in a year, my God, again, here's my money. So, I mean, with Julia, I think she would have more of the freedom, obviously, with AEW, where she can, like you said, go back to stardom, maybe go, you know, do some independent dates, which would be really cool. But, I mean, the big money and I think the bigger presentation, God, her and Bianca, again, sign me up. It just seems like more money matchups, I think, I guess, could be in the E. More so than, you know, an AEW, you know, unless she does like a Wembley show. But like, I could see Julia being in a Mania match, you know, within 2 years time, you know, God willing.
Well, and I think the other thing too is, you know, WWE was just as hard pushing for Mariah May as AEW was. That was known. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she chose to go to AEW. AEW is building this angle around stardom. So they continuously bring up stardom, which I think is kind of interesting. And
so are they done with Tokyo Joshi Pro, even though they still have a Wrestle Universe relationship? Or
no, I don't think so.
Just because it's kind of free reign in Japan now, which is a good thing. That,
I,
you know,
I look at it
they're
as
allowed
the
to
warrior.
Work with anyone. Yeah.
If we can bring in more people and give both companies exposure, I don't think there's any reason not to do it.
Oh, by the way, the E already had their Mariah May, Ryan. I think she's called Tiffany Stratton.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Daddy said she could be a wrestler, so she became a wrestler. I'm glad they don't do that shit anymore. She's on a tennis court. But if that's the case and they're going to talk about stardom, you know, who's to say it isn't? You know, that's the other reason that makes me think of the Julia thing. Because I feel like the Mariah May thing, especially with you mentioning the Mickey James, Trish Stratus style gimmick, is it makes me think now even more that Storm's winning the title and she's gonna end up feuding with Mariah May, because if they won the bid for her, they're gonna use her. And I know Tony Khan's big on her because, you know, he's a mark. So that's just there's just a lot of indications to me that say it could very well be Julia. I didn't think of, and I'll say this just because I want to get it out there in case it happens, and I hope it doesn't, or it's going to be Goldberg. And then he's going to wrestle the Wardlow.
does he have a lot of respect in the locker room, do you think?
Who knows? He'll come out doing that shit and get tired.
Is Flair going to show up at the pay-per-view? Has he been on television? I haven't seen him in the last couple of weeks. After he was like, I'm going to be with you, Stinger.
I think they want to get through this weekend. I think once they get through this weekend, then they can start building for Revolution.
Hey, you got to get that woo juice, man.
Do they sell it like retail?
Woo energy.
Woo juice, he called it.
Woo juice. Talk to your woo juice. Talk to your woo juice.
One time for the whole thing.
Nothing loose.
So, if we were to go through this, MJF and two beatdowns against the Guns, MJF retains. Is that your thought?
Nah, Bullet Club Gold's taking all the straps on Saturday.
Oh, whatever.
Because this is where I'm going. That's where I was going with the MJF contract talk. Is if he really did resign and they're keeping it hush hush. Why don't you? I mean, he's already beaten the record. He's the longest reigning AEW champion. You know, give or take ticket sales and all this other stuff. You know, pretty interesting title reign from the Pillar storyline to the Adam Cole stuff to, you know, kind of the face turn and a lot of that. I think he needs a cool off. He was thrusted with a lot, especially in the last 4 or 5 months. It seems like, you know, especially within the last month where he was involved in 9 storylines in one Dynamite alone, which I actually thought that was the best he's looked overall since champion was that one Dynamite where like Joe came at him and like Bullet Club all came, like everyone just came at him in one night and the Acclaim and all this other stuff. I was like, okay, I'm down with this. But anyways, then he loses, and then he comes back sometime, you know, in 2024. You're going to be like, I don't know, what is he going to do? And then he's that big surprise. I think you give him a nice cool off. You build some other people up. You kind of see where this, you know, Adam Copeland situation goes. You could focus more on the Sting aspect, you know, kind of make that, you know, your one or two storyline until that's over in February. But yeah, I think that's what you got to do, especially if Adam Cole is legit injured. You got to wait for that storyline for another 6-7 months to finally, you know, conclude.
So I'll say this, that if we're going that route, which I'm fine with, then I think you just got to go all out and blow it up. I still in the back of my mind, and I know everybody said it's a thing, and, you know, there's pictures on the internet and yada, yada, but conspiracy theory that I am, still think there's a slight chance it's a work.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have the devil end up being Adam Cole. And you need to have
Agreed.
The guys with them being the Kingdom and Roderick Strong. And they need
or
to...
Kyle O'Reilly.
Hell yeah, there you go. Because you need 5. Do Cole, O'Reilly, Strong, and the Kingdom. There you go, there's 5.
Boom.
And you have them come out and do whatever they need to do. And MJF challenges him for a, you know, he beats Jay White and he goes, I'm sick of this. Me and you this Wednesday on Dynamite. And it's a title match. And he gets jumped or whatever. The guy unveils and it's Adam Cole. He's not hurt. And they beat the shit out of MJF and he go. That's how you get him off TV. You make Adam Cole champion. And then you could bring him back, at, you know, to set up for Double or Nothing between MJF and Cole. Give him 6 months off to get him off TV. If Adam Cole's really not hurt and they're just prolonging that angle, then just gangbuster it. Just do everything. Because at the end of the day, selfishly, I want this company to give me somebody that's his partner in the tag match. I want the devil and his group to be unmasked. And I want to know who this mystery signing is. I want everything on Saturday. I don't want him to waste or, you know, I don't want this devil thing to go on. Because here's the problem. I agree with, you know, Lanza said this on the flagship that we've listened to. Nobody cares about this devil thing, but Roderick Strong, nobody even talks about it.
Yeah.
It has never once come out of Jay White's mouth in the last month. So
well,
why?
Because he was getting jumped by them.
You know, he got jumped that one show, talked about it the next week, and it's never come up again. So why keep pushing this angle that nobody even talks about? Who cares? Get it out of there. Get done with it. Just you're doing too much.
Even if it's Adam Cole that we all know it should be, like, is it still going to be the uh-huh? Unless, like you said, he somehow wins the title, like, after he unveils himself.
It's one of those things where when he takes off that mask, the crowd's going to pop. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think
it's so obvious.
If I could book this and I had my way, when they take off those masks, it's – it's Kenny Page, the Bucks, and CM Punk.
CM Punk,
and everyone
yeah.
goes, oh, my God, there's a work. And they're like, we've been working at this for 2 years. To screw you people over. That'd be the biggest swerve ever. Nobody would see that coming.
No, no one.
You
and want to
win
like,
angle of the year, TK, you get those five guys in a room and put that together for Saturday. That's how you get me over.
Matt Jackson and Phil Brooks is making out in the ring.
They're all excited and shit.
Fucking Ace Steel is...
Kenny Omega's fake biting his arm.
Yeah. I mean, that would be some Bullet Club NWO-esque type shit, which, yeah, I mean, that would...
That would be Hogan Bash at the Beach.
The week before Survivor Series in Chicago with all their CM Punk drops that they're doing over in Connecticut. I mean, that would be interesting. I would be down for that. I don't know, man. This show is just, there's so many possibilities. Like, it's making my head spin.
So
and we also have another pay-per-view in, like, a month after that. So that's where I'm like, what are you prolonging to?
Yeah. So let's real quick run through it real fast, give our thoughts, give quick winners and big-time thoughts here as we've given this up the whole first hour. MJF and the Guns. I'm going MJF. You're going Guns, correct?
Yes.
Sheeta, Tony Storm, we talked about. I think Storm's winning the title.
Bingo.
Sting, Darby, Copeland are going to beat Christian, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne. No way Copeland's losing.
I'm going to go heels with the win.
Ooh, it says
I'm going Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne's getting that pin on Copeland after Cage hits him with the chair.
Let's go. It says Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland with Ric Flair.
Oh, man.
Woo! Orange Cassidy, John Moxley. Does Moxley take the title back?
I mean, does it really matter? But I'm going to say Mox. Mox is going to, yeah, he's going to get it back.
I think you got to put it back on him so you can try to go back to the angle you were going to do a couple months ago. Because like, and that's one thing that we have to give this company with some booking problems and ticket sales and ratings and matches and angles is this company has been really, really destroyed the last 2 years with the injury bug.
Injuries, yeah.
I mean, look
and
at
what
how
does that equate to? What do we, is it the training? Is it the lack of reps? What are we, why are there so many injuries within the last 3 years within this company?
I think it's all just coincidental. I mean, if, you know, if it's a real injury, how many people jump off of a stage running to the ring and Adam Cole breaks his ankle? How, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or how many people do dives on a weekly basis in all these wrestling companies and Moxley happens to hit his head on the ground? You know what I mean? Like, it's so random.
And Danielson injures his arm and then his eye.
Yeah. When has Okada ever injured somebody on his elbow that he does? This is the first time I've ever heard it.
Yeah. Well, they're saying it might have been like a week or two before that as well. So who knows?
And if it was, you know, okay, cool. But if it's, you know, what was reported.
Yeah, but Okada's taking that heat. Like, real or not. He's getting some heat off of that.
Shout out to Okada who after, you know, they had Cassidy do the orbital bone thing to put that over. Okada's going, oh, my arm. Oh, my eye. Get up, you baby.
We already got the match announced. We already have the match announced for Wrestle Kingdom in January 4th. We will be getting Danielson Okada 2. So,
if they put it to a vote, is it going to win the voting over Naito Sonata?
Oh, yeah. I think Danielson has to be at least 90% for that match.
I think he's fine. He had a broken orbital bone in ROH back in 2006 or 7 or whatever it was.
Oh,
and
it hurt.
He worked Takeshi Morishima with a legit broken orbital bone, and Morishima was lariating his face. He's fine. I'm not worried about Danielson. I mean, I got a broken arm. Watch this match I'm going to put on with Ricky Starks.
They're
slapping each other in the face with a strap.
And he didn't use his right arm at all once.
And
so the thing with Danielson, too, is I love how he does the promo. He's like, you know, you took my arm, you took my eye. I'm going to take, you know, another win from you, Okada, at the Dome. I love how he can't participate in the G1 next year for obvious reasons, since he'll, you know, pretty much his career will be, you know, winding down to minimal dates. But he gets his Japan moment, you know, obviously not Noah or Dragon Gate USA, but he gets to perform at the Dome.
Yeah, he's
the biggest star
in
Japan.
To the top.
Like, it's so awesome that he's going to get this match, and I just can't wait for that. But that's a whole nother.
It's not the G1, but he's going to get his tournament that he wants to do. Yeah. And you know what? I tell you what. I bet you.
What
Tony
is this tournament for? Is this for the international title shot?
No, I don't think they announced what it was for at all.
We're just going to have 12 competitors in a round-robin tournament.
I'm assuming it's going to be for a title shot at Revolution, if I had to guess.
The K1, the Con 1.
Yeah, that'll be my guess, is winner goes on to Revolution. Easy way to do that. But I wouldn't be shocked if Tony Khan was like, hey Brian, who do you want in this tournament with you that you can work? Like, I bet you he's going to have a lot of say in this tournament, so I think that's a good thing, too.
Did we get another Zack Sabre Jr. appearance?
Oh, he just worked Mike Bailey.
He did, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm excited to check that shit out. But yeah, you know, injuries aside, you know, that's definitely been something that's hurt this company. Speaking of injuries, Hangman's back, but Hangman Swerve, I think Hangman's winning. You agree? Disagree?
I disagree. I think you keep that momentum. You give Strickland this victory.
That's what I want. I want Strickland to keep the momentum up, because I feel like Tony Khan thinks this guy can be a world champion in the next 2 years. And I think if you want to get him there, keep the wins going.
I agree. I think Paige even hopefully realizes that as well. And if they can put on another banger as they did in Seattle at WrestleDream, I mean, this is the match I'm looking forward to. This is the number one match for me,
if I have to be honest. If you look at, like, you know, with the Young Bucks, too, they know that they don't have to win matches, and they're always going to be over because of the company it is. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I think we've seen, you know, the Bucks job out to certain teams, or, you know, Hangman has been on the losing end. So I think you're right. I think there's a very good chance Swerve could win this, because they know Hangman's not going to lose shit losing this match.
No, agreed. And Swerve, if he's in that tournament, again, you're building up this storyline where it started, where Strickland's like, you've been handed everything, Hangman. And, you know, he's like, I deserve to be champion. You were just given, you know, the path. He's like, I've been fighting for this long, and I'm going to be the first African-American AEW world champion. And I think that's awesome. And I think it's something where you keep building that and building that. And like you said, within 2 years, I'd say within about a year, he's got a hell of a shot, you know, by the end of 2024, hopefully, at least in a feud for the top prize there.
And the only reason I say 2 years is because they do a good job of having long world title reigns.
True. You know, there's only been like, what, six champs?
Mm-hmm. that's the only reason. Like,
which is good.
I mean, he could be one of the next couple champions. You know, have him win this tournament and have him beat MJF at Revolution, and then there's where you have Cole show he's the devil. He can cost him the match.
Yeah.
And then you could have send MJF away a couple months, have him come back, and they can do a big street fight at Double or Nothing, and then you still got the title off of him, and you can put it on Swerve. And being a heel, being the guy he is, it's not going to hurt him.
It's perfect.
And
what's funny,
and
too,
he can
is I was
talk about how great he is because he won, you know?
Hell yeah. I was going to say I could see Swerve Strickland beating Jay White for the title. I was like, yeah, I could see him beating White. That'd be tight.
Golden Jets, Young Bucks. I feel like Young Bucks are jobbing again.
What I hate about this is what I read a few weeks back is they're breaking up the Elite after they made this whole big we're one unit against one man. CM Punk, we are the Elite. We are one. And then they're going to fight.
Could still
so they could
one in the locker room because it's not an on TV angle. Come on.
That's be one on screen. Just all of a sudden, like, oh, you're hanging around Jericho, huh? Like, that's so stupid. It's baby shit. Like, no grown men are gonna like do that. Anyways, I think what I heard were the Young Bucks are going to, because they want to team with Colt Cabana and Brandon Cutler, which I don't know if they're going to get them any more over than they already are. But if that's to be the case, and then they help the Golden Jets win so they can become heels because they turned on Kenny, I think that would be
love
the most
for
laughable thing. It'd be it's fine if they're heels, but to bring in Cutler and Cabana for that, I'm sorry, but that shit is just, that's trash.
I don't think that, I would be shocked at that. Cabana and Cutler are jobbing on ROH TV.
But that's what I'm saying. They're going to get them so they can do another fresh paint of coats on
whoever
on Cabana there.
Threw that rumor out there, I assume doesn't know much about wrestling.
Take that, Meltzer.
Yeah, fuck Meltzer then. I don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit. I would love it if the Bucks would turn heel just because it would give them different people to work.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, it's obvious that they're playing the heels in this story, whatever, here.
You
I think
hate
Omega
them so much.
Oh, I do. I'd punch the shit out of them if I ever see them. But Omega and Jericho, I mean, I kind of like it. I like the Winnipegger, you know, aspect to it. The Sega Genesis gimmick last night.
Oh,
that was
Brian Cage.
Yeah, with Kota Ibushi being murdered by Aussie Open Kyle Fletcher. Like,
why did Takeshita give him a brainbuster on a bike?
Because he's utilizing Ibushi's. And probably because of, what's his name? Not Taguchi. The main guy in DDT who overruns the universe. Takagi, thank you. it was probably paying homage to
Takagi
as well.
And that's what I think Kota Ibushi was doing with the bike to begin with. You know, some old school happy motel. But Takeshita was just in there kicking the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, because he was the boss as hell.
Yeah, I was like, man, you need to wear wrist tape more often. I think the reason I think Omega and Jericho are winning is I think they're going to beat Starks and Big Bill, and then you can do some tag stuff with the Callis family.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's why I would do it.
Yeah, I think the Jets winning, I think that'll, you know, again, push the Bucks away. Get them, like you said, on that heel route. And yeah, I think just more prominent matchups gives Kenny something to do. Before maybe another Japan, you know, Japan run in January.
Yeah, I think it's always good to cool him off because if you ever need him for a main event push, you know, he can do it with anybody. But
he just had that title match against MJF that we didn't talk about, which was a phenomenal match, not only for free television, but pay-per-view quality. And if you haven't checked on Collision from the 28th of October, go seek that out on your TNT apps because it was a banger. Big fight feel. And, you know, Kenny, it's fine. Kenny can go do that, you know, a couple times a year, have the big matchups, and I think it's fine with him and Jericho.
So now you may end up having a different bias than in 2020 with this because – you know, they made your friend Phil go home, and I know that hurt your feelings, but the Young Bucks versus the Golden Jets, how close can this get to the Revolution tag match that we said is the greatest tag match we've ever seen in our lives?
No.
Is it just because Jericho can't hang with a guy like Hangman anymore at this age? And that's a definite hindrance with the three workers he's going to be in there with.
I mean, I don't want to put ageism into it, but honestly, yeah. I mean, this is going to be a very good match. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're going to play to Jericho's strengths.
And that's
what
we always talk
now.
About is he's so good at how do I
adapting.
Just adapt and do it
yeah.
that, I mean, you know, and for those that don't know what we're talking about, Kenny and Paige versus the Young Bucks Revolution 2020, maybe the greatest tag team match we've ever seen. It was, I mean, we couldn't stop throwing roses at that match. I mean, it was incredible.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah, hey, at least we got that before, though.
That's true. And it was a huge crowd in Chicago. It was the first event at the Wind Trust, and yeah, that was
could
an amazing match.
If that would have been a no fan show match,
no.
Yeah.
Well,
so
there,
like,
were many good matches with no fans, you know, across the industry during that time. I don't think it would have had the same effect because
that
crowd
was like perfect.
That was on the level, like the Acclaim and Swerve and Lee in Chicago again was, or Hoffman Estates, I should say. That's another example of where that crowd made that match like, oh, this is 7 stars. Like, like, holy shit. I felt like I was there. I think this is going to be damn good, but Jericho, as we know, is just, you know, a little bit slower. But I think if you adapt to that, like we're talking about, this could easily be, you know, 4.5.
Because I would 4.25 with him and Takeshita at Ultimate Party.
I can't believe they co-main evented that, by the way.
He could tell he's getting a little bit gassed, but he hung with Takeshita the entire way. I was super impressed. I couldn't believe how good he looked, which tells me that he knows that he's putting himself into dangerous waters tagging with Kenny. And to me, it tells me that he's taking it seriously because, like I said, his cardio on that show or on that match was, I mean, it was go. It was a, there was, your downtime here and there and shit like that as always. But I mean, this thing was a fucking sprint. I mean, this was, this was almost 24 minutes.
Hitting
8.3 out of 10 on Cage Match, which is about a 4.25 like I had,
Yeah, my Wrestle Universe was glitching on every platform, so I was just pissed and just gave up because I started that. I watched a little, because I started with the Saki Akai retirement match, and it was just like skipping every other second, and I was like, nope, can't do this.
That sucks. Hopefully you can get back
and
watch
again.
Soon. It was good. But yeah, it was like Jericho looked really good, so that's why I have a small bit of hope that he's going to be able to go. And I think they're smart enough to know that when it's time to get him out of there, you have the Bucks run the crazy shit with Kenny, and you do all that, and then you can still I don't know I think like you said, Hangman and Swerve, I think, and this are my two most anticipated matches on this show.
I am looking forward to this match. I'd say this is probably within my top three matches of like, oh, I cannot win. I'd say probably my top three. But I'll just end it with this. I think this is going to be a very good match, like you're saying. But I, again, just randomly just thrown together. I don't watch Being the Elite as much anymore. If not for over a year. So, I mean, I don't know. And I stopped watching, actually, Ryan, before the whole Brawl Out. So don't throw it all on.
I wouldn't dare do that.
That might have had, a play, though.
I'll say this, too. We don't know for sure, per se. But, once again, was there another injury thing that made this get thrown together so fast? You never know with all the shit they keep going through. But
and with Kota Ibushi being finally All Elite, with them announcing that he has signed with them last night here on Dynamite, like, does he come out during this matchup? Does he do something? Is he going to get involved?
If it was supposed to be him.
Yeah.
But he just wasn't. I could see him being like, there's no way with me being so far out of the ring where I still am not where I was that I can go in there with Kenny in the Bucks. This is not going to happen.
But, man, talk about a match that could have blown the roof off of the Forum. Golden Lovers versus the Bucks.
I mean, they did in L.A. back in like 2017 or whatever.
I'm just saying.
Remember how good that was?
Big Ibushi, yeah.
I
remember
they did the the dual blade thing, and Ibushi once again fucked it up trying to go out to the floor.
Yeah,
but Ibushi being Ibushi was like, I can't do that shit I used to. Just give me a brain buster on my neck on a bike. oh, Kyle Fletcher, just kill me. I can still do that
literally
well.
Kill me. I felt so bad for Fletcher. I'm like, what is going through his mind right now? Because there's no win-win for that spot for either man.
And Ibushi's just smiling. This is going to be fun. Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm going to Yakuza-theme the matchup. Yay.
Yeah, do you think rolled his eyes and looked at everyone like, really?
Oh, yeah. That's a rib. That's probably one of the biggest ribs.
Statlander's not losing to Hardest Guy Blue, right?
No, but I think this is my most intriguing match. This is the match where I'm looking forward to seeing how, because I think all of them have progressed. Statlander from her injury, from her not being from Andromeda anymore, from being a really awesome champion, to Julia Hart doing a bang-up job.
Well improved.
And Sky Blue, you know, kind of garnering some fanfare, not for certain aspects, but for her ring work.
What's with this Scooby-Doo shit she's wearing?
People liked it.
God, I don't.
She wore it for a Halloween one-off, and then it blew up, and now she's wearing it all the time. It doesn't go with her eye gimmick, but whatever. I'm excited to kind of see this young crop of wrestlers that really didn't have that indie kind of, you know, practice. They all just kind of started. It seemed, Sky Blue did, I guess, with AEW and whatnot in Chicago.
She worked a lot of the Chicago indies. Julia Hart, I believe, was a Ken Kennedy trainee. And Statlander's
out in Long Island.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to wrestle guys all the time in that Beyond promotion.
Oh, really? Thanks.
She used to do all the intergender stuff, yeah. That's another one that MJF brought along, like Max Caster. It's another one from his camp.
But no, I think this match is very intriguing. I can't wait to see, but yeah, I think you know what? I'm going to change it. Julia Hart's going to get the win.
Oh, let's go. You heard it here first.
I got faith.
Ricky Starks and Big Bill versus La Facción Ingobernables. Rush and Dralístico. It's FTR versus the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black, Brody King.
Are they still PWG tag champions, by the way?
I think so, because PWG isn't running the rest of the year because Super Dragon's wife's sick.
But then they also said that the venue was shut down permanently, and then it's like, nope, kidding, we're open.
Yeah, he's the current champion. Or they're the current champions, yep.
Yeah.
I feel like Starks and Big Bill retain, and I think it's partially because of what I said with Kenny and Jericho beating them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad Rush is finally on a fucking pay-per-view.
Who is Dralístico? Why should I care? And yeah, I think Rush is going to be freaking awesome in this. I think Starks and Big Bill had something when they were first paired randomly. Like I said originally on the show a few months back, I was like, they just had got that Shawn Michaels diesel energy, except I think Big Bill could obviously move a little bit better than what Big Daddy Cool could do about 30 years ago here. So I think Starks and Big Bill deserve the win. FTR, you know, I think maybe again kind of a nice cool off here would be fine. But yeah, I think Dralístico will be eating the pin from one Big Bill.
So Dralístico started in CMLL, where he was Dragon Lee from 2010 to 2012.
Wait, what?
And then he dropped the gimmick and gave it to his brother, who was Drago, who now is the Dragon Lee that we know and love, that feud with the Romo. And then he became Mystico.
Oh, they're all brothers.
Yep, and then he became Mystico until 2021. And then there's the new Mystico because he jumped ship from CMLL to AAA. And, you know, just like the LA Park thing in the park, the companies own the gimmick, so they just put a new guy into the hood. So now there's the new Mystico, which he was the Mystico in CMLL. And then now he became Dralístico to combine the Dragon Lee and Mystico portion to make Dralístico from Dragon to Mystico. And then Rush is his other, Rush is his brother. Dragon Lee is his brother. So that's how that whole thing is between them. But yeah, they're all related, those three. That was why a lot of people thought Dragon Lee was going to go with. And then Bestia del Ring is their father, obviously. But that was originally why people were so shocked about Dragon Lee going is when Roosh got in, everyone thought, and then Jalisco got in there, oh, they're going to bring in Dragon Lee. This is great. And then all of a sudden, after they, you know, they win that match, and he's like, I'm going to NXT as I just won a title, AAA or whatever. And they're like, oh, okay, see ya. He just leaves.
To be fair, Dragon Lee was probably dropped on his neck quite a bit from Hiromu and many other Puro juniors over the years where he's like, you know what? I'm going to go play it safe. I'm going to go wrestle for like 5 minutes a night instead of 35 minutes, and I'm going to go take my check.
Yeah, I'm going to go get paid. I want them to push Roosh, man. I think that's a guy, you know.
He's got the look.
If you want to give me what I wish would like this company to go to is I would love for 2025 Double or Nothing. The main event is Roosh and Shane Strickland. That's what I want to see. Give me those two motherfuckers. Nice. That would be fantastic. But then main event MJF. Who do you think is pinning Jalisco? Who's getting the win? Are you going same champs retain?
Champs retain. Yes. Sir.
Yeah. FTR. I think it's just, hey, we don't, you know, let's get them in there just for more work rate. And you can build FTR and, you know, Black and Brody, you can build House of Black up with FTR and they can go do something. They don't need titles on the line, which is
that'd be nice. Yeah.
You know, so there's things you could do from this. Then MJF Jay White, are you truly going Jay White's taking the title? Or are you going MJF? Cause I'm going MJF.
I'm going to go Jay White. I
would love it. I love Jay White, but
how do you think Jay White's been so far since he's been officially signed with the AEW? How do you think his jaunt's been? Okay.
I think he's been great. Because the one hindrance I always had with Jay White is New Japan would let him have 45-minute matches, and them shits would get so boring sometimes. Because his control periods were so boring. But in AEW...
Remember the guardrail spot? That was like 20% of his offense.
Yeah. Guardrail. Whereas now... He has it's shorter matches,
yeah.
And it's more the Okada pacing with these ones, and that's why I think they've been so good. Like, I love the fact that, you know, when they ended that show Wednesday and he hit MJF with the Blade Runner, he just looks like a million bucks. He hits him with that move, pins him in the eight man, gets the clean win, holds that belt up. He looks like a champ.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's why I'm picking the Switchblade. It's got to be the era, man. We got to breathe it in for 2024. They got to get it out of that smog out in L.A. on Saturday night. I'm calling it Jay White, your new AEW World Champion.
Let's get it. So with that, with the preview going down, which we gave a ton of time to, which I think it's deserving. We have a, you know, good AEW fan base. Puro time. We got Power Struggle. We have the All Japan, not necessarily All Japan shows, but just the rumblings of All Japan. We have DDT's Ultimate Party. We still haven't talked Noah's Demolition Stage in Fukuoka from the 28th. And we also have the Gate of Destiny from Dragon Gate. Where do you want to go on this ride of Puro? And my second question is, if it's something with you having... aside from sleeping, maybe having time, would you prefer we push Ultimate Party a week so you can watch it? Because
I don't
think
know if
you'd
I'll
enjoy
watch
the
all 6
show.
Hours. I don't know if I'll watch all 6 hours. I got too much Bravo reality television to unfortunately watch. And the challenge.
God. Oh, this
dude,
man.
I fell asleep.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
This is how sick I was, dude. Like...
I can't watch DDT.
I went to bed at like 7:30.
Of Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Dude, their fights are more believable at times. When I'm like, man, she's going to slap that bitch. But I fell asleep from like 7:30 to 1:30. It was intense. So I couldn't watch the challenge. I was sad. But you know what I was watching? I was watching Winter House on Bravo.
Yeah, that movie you asked me to watch, that's that Michael Fassbender movie, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I saw the trailer for it. I almost watched it. I ended up watching Now You See Me 2 because I had seen the first one like 2 days ago. Then I watched that. And then I watched The Meg 2.
Oh, how was that?
It was cool. I enjoyed it. It was all right. And then I actually watched three movies yesterday. You should be happy. Ooh. I watched Strays.
Oh, the Peacock swearing dog movie?
Yeah, with Will Ferrell and Jamie Foxx and two other people.
How was that one?
It was fun. It was cool.
Is that something you'll show Sydney?
No.
Really?
No. No, God, no. Well, I can't remember the douchebag guy's name, the owner guy in it. Is it Will Forte?
No, from Last Man on Earth?
It was, what was that guy's name? I can see his Strays cast. Let me see. It is Will Forte. You're right. Oh, so Isla Fisher was the one dog, and Randall Park was the other one. Okay.
Oh, and Randall Park. Nice.
And Dennis Quaid played Dennis Quaid, which is funny.
Interesting.
He's just looking at birds, and then, like, a hawk flies by, like, on the commercial with the dog.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that part from the commercial, he's like, holy shit, I've never seen a bird do that, and I'm Dennis Quaid or something like that.
This just in, Nikki and Brie Garcia claim that we will definitely see them in the ring again at some point very soon. So does that mean they're going to show up Saturday?
No.
Came a long way, haven't I? I went from getting snitched on to pop to Puerto Rico. I'm a champ! Swag champ is here!
I forgot that's what the Swaggy Pete thing was. That was something different. But, so I watched the trailer to see what this movie was because I had no idea what it was about. I watched the trailer and Will Forte dumps the dog and then they're going to go back and he's going to get revenge on his owner, blah, blah, blah. Well, what they don't show is he says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to bite his fucking dick off. And I'm like, whoa, this dog's going to bite his owner's dick off. My kid's not watching this now. That's So it was an interesting movie. It was decent. It wasn't. I don't think it was anything like earth changing, world changing, but
2023. I will say Ryan will go down as one of the best years of film. You talk about top 10 of wrestling. I don't know what I could do for my top 10 best picture nominees for the Academy Awards. Because I think you could fit easily maybe 12 to 13 movies. And I haven't even seen four movies that have yet to come out that I know are going to be top-notch bangers, if you will, like the Will Ospreay stretch of cinematics. But, like, I saw Priscilla on Tuesday, as well as The Holdovers, the new Alexander Payne, Paul Giamatti collaboration. And for me, that was a perfect 7-star Tokyo Dome special. It was just a wonderful throwback to your 70s films, all the way from the beginning graphics to the music, to the editing, to the fade-ins, the fade-outs, the star wipes and whatnot, and just awesome performances that deal with topics that resonated not only then that people weren't, you know, educated with, but are totally relevant now with how people, you know, behaviors are. And I highly recommend The Holdovers to anyone. But also Anatomy of a Fall, a perfect 10 out of 10. Barbie, I will say, is a perfect, I'd say a 10 out of 10, 9.9.99999, but a 10 out of 10. Oppenheimer, a 10 out of 10. Flower Moon, 10, like there's been so many masterpieces. I will even put John Wick 4 as a fitting conclusion, but also with some of the most intense set pieces, action sequences in any film besides one that you'll see in The Killer, but based in realism type aspects. Again, I think that's a damn masterpiece, but movies this year have just been outstanding. And like I said, there's still four more to go. And one of my favorite films, Ryan, that I saw was a reissue of a 40-year concert film from the Talking Heads called Stop Making Sense. And that was one of the best experiences I've had at the movies in a long time.
So I have a predicted best picture list of 10 movies that they are predicted to be the nominees. Alex, do you want them?
Okay. Yeah.
American Fiction.
Can't wait to see that one.
Barbie.
Damn right.
The Holdovers.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one with Paul Giamatti or whatever his name is, right?
Yep, yep.
Okay, I saw the trailer. I did see the thing for that. Killers of the Flower Moon. Maestro.
Interesting.
Which is, it looks like a Scorsese, Spielberg, Bradley Cooper Netflix thing. Or something.
Yes, yeah, it's about Leonard Bernstein, the famous composer.
May, December.
Oh, yeah, and that's coming out, Todd Fields.
Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Origin. Poor Things.
That cannot wait for that.
The Zone of Interest.
Yes. Zone of Interest is going to be very interesting. The concept of that film is it is set during the Holocaust, and it's about a Nazi commander's family that are trying to live their lives and make their lives better and prosper while they live essentially near or behind the concentration camp, essentially. So you see this idyllic family portrait while all this horrific, actions and history is going on literally in their backyard. So Sandra Hüller, who's also the star of Anatomy of a Fall, that's where the issue where people don't know of how many foreign films can go for Best Picture is because she is an outstanding actress and it's going to be a flip up. They're both not going to get in, which sucks. But Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall, Sandra Hüller, fantastic German actress. And I cannot wait to see more.
There was also one movie I started on Peacock, but I didn't end up finishing it. And I can't remember what it was. Oh, Asteroid City.
Oh, love that movie. One of my favorites. Wes Anderson.
I got about 40 minutes into it and I switched to that Strays movie because I was just kind of tired. So I was like, I don't want to have to pay attention. And I was like, I feel like I'm missing things and I don't want to do that.
You are and you aren't in a Wes Anderson movie. Yeah. It's very, very good. It's a different set piece, even though it has a Killers of the Flower Moon, or I should say Killers of the Flower Moon, has some Asteroid City qualities to it is all I'll say. But I popped in the theater in Flower Moon where I was like, Asteroid City.
So if I guess I don't where do you want to go here? We got about 40 minutes left of the show.
Man.
Let's talk All Japan. Let's talk All Japan because we haven't given them a lot of time this year because they've had a struggling year that I think has gotten really good and really improved. Mm-hmm. And their shows are a lot of fun, and they're bringing in a lot of talent. And they're really trying things, I think, is the best way to put it, where before it was always like, oh, what are we going to do? I put the title on Suwama, and we just get frustrated.
Holy shit, Nakajima's in the tag league?
Yeah, he's with
the other
Hokuro Mori.
Oh, he's with Amori.
Yeah, he's with Minoru Suzuki's partner. Bulk Orchestra's in it. Galeno Del Mal and Hayato Tamura, they're in it. Eichemann and Seigo Tachibana are in it. If you remember Tachibana, who was with Eichemann before he left, he was the other guy that wore that pink suit and always do the thing with his face.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing that. Suwama's tagging with Hideki Suzuki in the tag league. Hideki Okatani and Yukio Sakaguchi from Eruption are in the tag league.
Oh, nice.
They actually, on the show last night, worked Miyahara and Aoyagi in the main event.
I might have to give that a watch while I'm sick. I'll watch that stuff. But
and then Junior Battle of Glory, they got Naruki Doi in there. Koji Iwamoto's in it. They brought him back. Fuminori Abe is in the Junior Battle of Glory. So the junior league and the real world tag league have some really good talent in it. Like I am like, okay, this is what I'm talking about. But you know, you go back to, you know, in Hokkaido on the 5th, they ran a day show and an evening show. The day show saw a lot of good stuff on there. We got Al Lindemann beating Jonathan Gresham in a junior title match. Really, really awesome. Good match. And then we had Jude and Rey Saito of Voodoo Murders. They retained the tag titles against Okuda Omori and Minoru Suzuki. That was a really good match, too. And then we also had T-Hawk work Dan Tamura, which was good. But then they had an evening show. And the evening show is the one, I believe, that you're watching or the main event you watched.
Yep.
We had a Dan Tamura, Jonathan Gresham, and Rising Hayato defeating Atsuki Aoyagi, Al Lindemann, and Fuminori Abe. That was awesome.
Wow.
That was really good. And then got 4.25 from Meltzer, which is good because he doesn't watch All Japan that much. But Kento Miyahara tagged with T-Hawk, defeating Ryuki Honda and Yuma Anzai.
Was that called Team Sexy?
Yeah, I told Isaiah about it. He's like,
Jesus. Oh, man. Creamed
There's
his
a point
jeans.
Where Miyahara is selling, and T-Hawk's like, get up. And he finally gets up, and they do a double blackout knee to the front and back of Honda. And, you know, Miyahara does his typical where he claps to get the sound, and T-Hawk is just a thud because he just kills the guy.
Oh,
he's just like, well, I'm glad at least he hit him in the back and not the face. But Meltzer stayed in for the show, went 5.25 on that main event, second match
wow.
for Nakajima, breaking the scale this year. He is officially, I think, putting himself into that Wrestler of the Year category if he wasn't for people.
I would hope
you,
so, yeah.
Did you finish this match?
Ryan, what do the five fingers say to Yuma Aoyagi's face?
Slap.
Slap. That boy, after having a 22-minute grueling matchup, from taking a superplex brainbuster to giving his own superplex, just gets slapped the shit out of and is just woozy. Grueling match. Nakajima, you talk about the killer. I had Fassbender vibes watching his matchup because he is a stone cold killer. Like with the marks and you know, kind of his what he's kind of been known for in the landscape of Pyro over the last year of 2023, he is a hitman. He's taking dudes out. He's taking out new champions in, you know, Aoyagi, you know, ending that short first reign, which I don't think affects him at all. This is the right thing to do after Nakajima jumped ship from Noah to All Japan here. Awesome match. I mean, it's everything you want. And where I thought Aoyagi was dead in the water 6 minutes in, oh, no. And it's the back and forth that you want. With the right guy winning, and like I said, Nakajima just looked cold and stoic and was just ready to take that belt off and was like, it's not your time yet, man. This is me. I'm going to take over and give a boost and a jolt to All Japan, which, you know, we always say they definitely need. I like the great collaboration, you know, with T-Hawk and Al Lindemann. You know, kind of coming
getting
with the
bulk
All Japan.
Orchestra,
bulk orchestra, mean? Correct? Yeah, even Jonathan Gresham making, you know, after
yeah.
he retired, he looks to be in fantastic shape. Honestly, just from this promo with him and Lindemann. So yeah, I mean they're doing stuff. They're thinking outside of the box, and I think landing Nakajima a favor to who it. I don't think it matters, but I think it benefits both people. In that aspect and a hell of a main event. I mean, I would easily go over the five if that was my bag. But this is definitely one where it cements Nakajima because he's holding championship gold to be in that top 10 wrestler of 2023.
Yeah, this match was tremendous. I mean, this is a legit match of the year contender. This is now Nakajima easily has two of my top 10 matches again this year because that match July 15th with Miyahara, I mean, that's one of the best matches I've seen this whole year. you know, I mean, that match was just fucking bonkers. So you bring in Nakajima, he ends the run like we said. Aoyagi, full on match or wrestler of the year, set out. Oh, Chris Brooks formed a new faction in DDT. Never mind, good, but that means he's not bouncing that out thing. They're called Schadenfreude. It's Chris Brooks, Masahiro Takanashi, Antonio Honda, Takeshi, and Takeshi Masada. That's his initial. Anyway, that's the point. I'm getting off topic. But Nakajima, and here's what excites me. At the All Japan Pro Wrestling Mania, 2 p.m. bell time in Yoyogi, in the second gym. So that means it's like an 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock show, I think, in America for us.
Really?
Yeah, or at 11 o'clock, maybe. But it's a definite before midnight type show.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve, Nakajima puts the title on the line against Kento Miyahara.
Oh, my gosh.
So Kento and Nakajima are like, we got 10 hours to take match of the year still. Because 2 p.m. bell time, New Year's Eve. This is now. Here's my question that I have going forward, and I really, this is why I think part of the reason I want to do All Japan, because I knew it was going to take longer, and if we have to get to results later, so be it, or another show, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If this is just a quick pit stop for the end of the year for Nakajima, you know, it's a perfect 2 month storm. He comes in, you know, he has that first match November 15th or whatever that day was. He makes his debut by smoking Miyahara with roses. Pissed off at him that he blew it against Aoyagi. You know, he beats Aoyagi with the Northern Lights driver because he's, you know, he says Sasaki and Akira Hokuto are his parents, are not his real parents, but his actual, like, were his parents.
What?
Because of his, yeah, there's, I can't remember why he has it, but like, he considers them his parents. They're the ones that trained him when he was like 13.
Okay.
And also, because both of these guys were trained by Sasaki, Miyahara, and Nakajima. Hmm. And they were both in that Sasaki, the Kensuke office in that company. And then they split off because apparently these two guys were the two faces of it. And they just grew to hate each other. And that's why they separated. And now they're coming, you know, because remember, that was the big intrigue when that six-man happened at the Tokyo Dome, the last love show was,
right.
Can these guys work together? You know, or is this going to get out of hand? And then they have this incredible match in July at that One Night of Dream show. And now New Year's Eve, we're getting the rematch. And I feel like Miyahara is going to win this thing, and I feel like Nakajima's leaving. And I feel like this is a pit stop. And I think there's three places he could go. And I want to start with, I think, the least possible slash where I want him to go the least amount and get your thoughts is, do you think there's a chance he could end up in WWE? Now that Triple H is running the show, he's trying to bring in this talent. If somebody said, kind of like the Julia thing, is could you imagine Michaels walks out of his office and watches Nakajima kick or slap like Oral Mensa in the performance center and just kill somebody?
And kills him.
But
I think the percentage is low on that, but I also believe that possibly it could happen. I like what they're doing with Shinsuke Nakamura. They're adding the subtitles to the promos. You feel the emotion and you know the passion that Nakamura's doing during these promos on Mondays. You know, Vince is like, he doesn't speak English, we're not going to push him. Well, they're doing the smart thing. They're making him important still by, you know, doing what makes Nakamura Nakamura, is the facials and the movements and, you know, kind of all that there. So I think they could do the same with Nakajima. Now, do you tag team them? No, but it'll be a raw team. No pun intended to the brand. But I mean, I would say he has a better chance going to Impact. I'd say before the E.
Oh, so Impact. I never thought of that.
Because he could still freelance, I would say.
Man, what if we got a knock? That could give us a potential 2024 matchups between Nakajima Alex Shelley, Nakajima yeah. Chris Sabin, Nakajima Mike Bailey, and Nakajima Will Ospreay. He's going to go, hey, WrestleCast Radio, I'm going on Match of the Year again.
Oh, man.
Okay, so put it, if we got 100% pie, we got a blame pie type thing, what's your percent you give WWE?
I'd say 25%.
What's your percent you give Impact?
Okay, so if we're going to put in, how many companies
now,
well, are we?
And, so I guess four of that. There's only two other companies that I'm thinking
I go, of. I go E10 and I would go Impact 15. To make it
okay, so that gives you a quarter. Now, and obviously, if there's any companies that I haven't, that I don't say in these next two, by all means, just like Impact, throw them out there. So my number two would be all Elite Wrestling, AEW. He talked
all
about
Japan wrestling. Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll say three. Let's say three. So AEW, both parties mentioned mutual interest.
Agreed.
Could it happen? I think it would be great. I would love to see it. I think he'd be great there. But I don't know. I just don't know.
For the matchup possibilities alone, I think that's a fresher start.
Him and Kenny?
Did express interest. Oh, my God. That was the first thing I thought of, too. That was my first thought. I was like, oh, my God. Just the hair alone, the hair versus hair battles. Oh, my God.
Who's got curlier locks?
But I would say if he wants to expand to America like he says he wants to, and like you said, Khan has mentioned, you know, an interest in Nakajima, I think that's a sexier pick than New Japan. And he could still possibly go work New Japan. That's the beauty of it. So that's the weird thing. And the weird silver lining or loophole, but I'm gonna go all elites. I'm gonna go 55%.
Whoa, that puts you at 80% already. That's fantastic. And that leaves me with New Japan.
I think that's they're kind of, you know, 1A, 1B with AEW, again, with the nice partnership there. And who knows? That could change in 2024. But, you know, as of right now, I would say they're number two. You know, I would put them at that 20% more so than.
I think I flip AEW and New Japan, but I agree with
it. Depends on where he wants to stay. It depends on if he wants to stay in Japan or if he wants to, you know, try something out.
That's a good way to look at it. Look at how well it worked when they brought in Shingo.
Yeah.
You know, and Nakajima's already worked the G1, so he's been there before.
He's done that, yep.
And because he's smaller, you know, compared to those guys' size, I think the intriguing thing for me with New Japan is how much of a fresh face would he be for that junior division?
Junior division?
Oh, yeah. Think of how small he looked next to a fucking Miyahara.
Yeah.
He looked like a kid.
Yeah, but you can't run his strength within that junior division.
But now you got to remember too. One thing I'll say with that was we had almost this identical conversation, which I think is a perfect way to look at this when Shingo showed up.
Yeah.
You said the same thing. There's no way he's a junior. We don't look at him as that, but they did. You know, I mean, you look at Aoyagi.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. It's just he outgrew it because of how fantastic he is. They're like, he's way too good.
Oh, my God, I totally spaced that he was a junior.
You know, and if you look at Nakajima, he's 5'9", 191 pounds.
Jesus.
So, as an example, if I pull up El Desperado, he's 5'10". He's smaller than Desperado.
He would give a significant boost to that junior division, but I think he's definitely he's more suited for the heavies.
Yeah,
just kind of with name recognition alone, and like you said, he's already done a G1. I think it's potential, but my thing is, like, if he does drop the belt to Miyahara New Year's Eve, does he show up at the Dome? Who does he challenge?
He shows up and challenges Hiromu or Despy after their match.
Damn, you're really going that. You're not going to say Okada. You just beat Bryan Danielson, but can you beat the Lone Wolf?
Because Okada don't want that smoke, and I love Okada. No, I'm just kidding. But this way you bring him in, and you do the Shingo route with him. You run him through a Super Junior this year in 2024, and then in 2025, if he gets over, like everyone's assuming he will, no problem. Mm-hmm. You then run him in a G1, and he does the same thing Shingo does. And Ospreay, remember 2020, they put those two in the G1. They only got like two wins maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and they gave us before at it was Dominion maybe? I can't remember. Or Duntaku, one of the two, it doesn't matter. But, you know, they gave a Shingo beating Kojima. And it was like a 4-star match. It was like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. So that's where I can kind of see them doing that same route with Nakajima. You take your time with them. And you establish them. You get the this is a Noah guy. I don't want to say stink, but I mean Noah's really struggling, you know, drawing a lot. They've ran 68 shows this year. Whereas you look at like Dragon Gate, they ran that this quarter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like they don't run. They're not getting big attendance. So you get that Noah stink off them that I, you know, once again, I hate to say
it's
that
crazy
way.
It's crazy how Muda was keeping them afloat for
mm-hmm.
those 2 years.
Look at the attendance.
And then for them to still have that talent. But then mm-hmm. still you have all that talent with Shizaki
coming back. Yeah, but you know what the problem
back.
Is? You know what the problem is? Muda and Ironhead Fujita and Hideki Suzuki and guys like that all just buried those young guys.
Yeah,
and buried
very true.
Them. To the
Why
point
do you think
that...
I was against Kaito Kiyomiya all that time?
Mm-hmm. Kiyomiya
became
working...
his bag boy.
He's working the New Japan Tag League. Yeah.
Yep.
Good for him. Get out of there. Go to New Japan where they'll use
yeah.
you. They'll make
yeah.
you a star. You know, Okada already endorses him. You know, he's worked
Agreed.
The kid twice already. So obviously Okada sees something in him. You know, get the fuck out of Noah. Do it Nakajima.
Yeah.
Just get out of there. I don't want to say that, but like, you know, next I want Kano to leave if that's going to be the continuing trend.
Oh.
I love Kano, man. You know that. I just, and he's the champ, and I think he's, you know, he's going to do a good job. I think he's going to have a good
Do you
run.
Think? Do you think the Noah stink is because, as I stated earlier, off air, it was like, it's so weird to me that Jake Lee was a part of All Japan because he just seems like such a Noah product, and Noah has been in the middle, you know, I'd say at best. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff I've watched this year has been really enjoyable. But yeah, nothing of what we saw in the last couple of years, and that's not including any Muda matches. But it just seemed like it was a different, and I like Jake Lee's title rate. I thought he's far more superior in Noah than with All Japan. So it's like a really weird thing to kind of dissect, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that Great Muda was the one that, you know, kind of kept that afloat. They have all that talent in Noah where it's interesting. It's fun. You got Jack Morris, you know, kind of being the head gaijin in all of Hero
right now.
I like
what they're doing. He's got Jack Morris. Didn't he
two belt
at Destruction?
Jack?
Yeah, he beat Wagner. Yeah,
yeah.
And him and Anthony Green and I'm liking them bring what they're doing. Not the Eita Ogawa Juniors, but the Dragon Bane Alpha Wolf type shit they're doing.
Yeah.
So like, it's not that they're not trying. It's just, you know, you got so much stink on you from burying some of these guys.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's you wonder why you're not getting over. Well, it's right in your face. You know, nobody wanted to see when Ironhead broke Nakajima's eardrum with just shooting on the kid. I shouldn't say kid, but I mean, well, fuck. How old is Nakajima's not even. I say kid like he's a child, but let me. If I pull it up, Nakajima's only 35.
Isn't he like 33? Oh, he's 35.
Yeah,
okay.
He's been wrestling since 2004. I mean, he's a 19-year pro and he's 35. I mean,
wow.
So it's just, you know, nobody wanted to see that. Everyone was, you could tell people are pissed. And then and Ironhead's pouring beer on Kiyomiya's head after he wins the title. Like, get out of here. You made this happen to yourself. So that's
and then you give the belt to Jake Lee.
Yeah. And I mean, once again, it's them trying something. Like you said, it wasn't a bad title reign, but it was, you know, it was, all right, it's Jake fucking Lee. Like, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
But I think my number one hope is he just stays in All Japan.
Really?
Yeah. I think he would be such a breath of fresh air for this company, where you go into next year and you know you're booking the Astronauts, Nakajima, Jonathan Gresham, you're booking Strong Hearts, you're working with great. Miyahara's back on top as your guy with a competent set of opponents to work now, not just Suwama. You finally got the Saito brothers over. They're not good wrestlers, but they're such scummy, dirty, indie-type tag wrestling that I can't take my eyes off of it. It's like watching just heels that just stand on people and choke, and they're grimy, and it's amazing. You know, and you have the Aoyagi brothers who are tremendous. You get the Yuma Aoyagi comeback run now. You got a carnival. Think of what the carnival could be next year.
Be pretty damn interesting, and you get a few outsiders, but oh my god, yeah.
I mean, you got Nakajima, Miyahara, Aoyagi. You could put Takuya Nomura in there. You could bring in, you know, with the way you're working with Big Japan, you could bring in, I wanted to say Yuji Okabayashi, but obviously, you know, he's I still miss. But I mean, you know, you got Yuya Aoki, who beat Okabayashi in that awesome, awesome match that might be a match of the year candidate that we don't talk about. But remember, you know what match I'm talking about when he took the title from him?
Yes.
And they had that crazy spot where Okabayashi on the apron grabbed him by his hair and flipped him over his body on the apron. Disgusting. You know, and Aoki's had, you know, defenses against Hideyoshi Kamatani. He's had other defenses. He beat Daisuke Sakamoto. He defended against Kazumasa Yoshida. So he's having a good little run as the champion. You know, maybe you get him to come over. He beat Nakanoue, I think, at one point early in the title run. He beat Hama. I remember it wasn't very good, but it's Hama. So there's just a lot of things that All Japan's doing right, and I would like to see them reap those rewards and get a benefit like, hey, Nakajima's going to stick around type thing.
Mm-hmm. I think, but my issue with Puro is, like, they always do, like, the big matchups, like, right away, and I'm like, let it simmer, let it build. But I think, I don't know, I think you're right. I think Nakajima could help benefit, or All Japan would benefit from having Nakajima on their roster. A lot, like you said, you know, with the carnival, with different potential matchups, with tag teams, obviously. I think that would benefit a lot of people until he realizes what he wants to do. So I don't know if they do like short-term contracts, handshake agreements or whatnot, but All Japan wouldn't be a bad thing because they need another boost. You know, Miyahara, as we've been saying, you can't be the guy as he has been for the last 5 years of what I've been watching or since I've been watching. And I think this is a foil that could build something there. But, you know, All Japan would be great, but, you know, like I said, it all depends on his headspace, on where he wants to go.
What if it's all under our nose and we didn't even think about it? What if the big signing on Saturday is Nakajima? I'd pop so hard.
I mean, does he come out with the belt?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Because, oh my God, what if you establish... Here's where my dream starts really going. You establish a...
Triple crown heavyweight champion. Like, how crazy would that be?
You establish a fucking relationship with All Japan, and then in turn we get a Miyahara Omega match or Miyahara Osprey. Oh, my God.
What if they're like, they bring out Nakajima on Saturday and they talk about this tournament and they're like, in 2 weeks, Minneapolis, Minnesota Dynamites.
Oh.
That's the Hiko Nakajima. We'll take on Samoa Joe.
I mean, if you want to get that crazy horny buck wild, what if they go the main event next Wednesday on Dynamite on our
Chicago's the one right after. We're the second.
So they go next week in Chicago. Samoa Joe takes on, I don't know, some Ricky Starks in a tournament match. And then in 2 weeks, we open the B block as we have our guy Brian Danielson taking on our new signee, Katsuhiko Nakajima.
I don't get wasted anymore, Ryan, but I would get wasted for that match.
We'll be down at Brothers just fucking banging on tables and people just...
We'll be going to Dream Girls and Deja Vu.
They're like, what's your lap dance tonight? We saw Katsuhiko Nakajima and Brian Danielson. They're like, can you guys leave?
You're like, oh. We're going to be there till like 1 in the morning, aren't we?
No, we'll be there till it'll be like 10:30.
Then they got to play Rampage in their Ring of Honor.
Are they doing Ring of Honor too?
I would think so. They usually
do. I'm all for that. Let's go. I hope we get 6 hours of wrestling.
I mean, I'm fine with that. For sure.
Yeah, I took the Thursday.
I'm not
off,
complaining.
So.
Whoa.
But yeah, that's just like, I'm really intrigued. All Japan is firing at all cylinders, and even if it's just a short-lived run, what a great way to get the title back to start 2024 on your guy. And you've rebuilt your roster. You've rebuilt your image. I mean, their last Korakuen show was the biggest show I think they've had in like 2 years at Korakuen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get the exact attendance, but I remember...
They're gaining steam. I mean, is All Japan even kind of overtaking Dragon Gate numbers now?
I mean, they're getting... Yeah, like, so their last show at Korakuen, which had the Yuma Aoyagi Kento Miyahara Triple Crown where he debuted, drew 1340.
Wow.
Which it was like 1700 was the before COVID number. Let me get the last Dragon Gate on the 9th, which had the Luis Monte versus Zebrats 4-on-1 handicap match, drew 1356. So they had 16 less people than Dragon Gate. And Dragon Gate, you could argue, by numbers, is the number two company in Japan. DDT also just ran Shinjuku Face last night to 181 people.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just, in my opinion, he's, like, they're coming back, and I'm excited, and that's why I really wanted to just make sure we at least got All Japan in, because I can't wait. New Year's Eve, we get Miyahara Nakajima.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty dope.
It's going to be... For the Triple Crown title, too. They're in Yoyogi, so it's going to be a good crowd. People are going to go for that. Let's go, man. Talk about... If I thought my ballot was closed by New Year's where I didn't have to worry about touching it anymore, well, I got to pull it out for this because I got to figure out where this is going to rank on my top 10, I bet.
I mean, you know. Will Ospreay is taking up 70% of my top 10. We got to figure out if we can have the same wrestler with 10 matches.
I was joking with somebody after I saw that the 12-31 match is happening with these two. And yeah. I was like, man, I'm going to have three guys on my match of the year, Nakajima, Miyahara, and Ospreay.
Yeah.
And then whoever their dance partner was, if it wasn't themselves with those two. But like this Miyahara match, his match in July with Nakajima, both of their matches with Aoyagi, which, okay, Aoyagi's going on there twice then. Like,
yeah.
It's just, man, this has been a really good year for some people. And with who's hit, they've just nailed. And Man, I'm excited. Yeah, I've been working on my ballot. I put a good couple hours into it yesterday. But so right now we got about 5 minutes left on the main feed here. Do you want to call it and dig into these shows more? Like, we can kind of do a quick results for people since we advertise it, but I just didn't know if there's anything you want to really dig into. Like, obviously we talked Noah's Demolition. We didn't talk, but we talked that, you know, Jack Morris won the secondary title, the red belt over there. And then, Kano beat Jake Lee for the title, for the main title. Not a lot otherwise to really talk about, unfortunately, with Noah. But
out of all the major champions this year, Ryan, where do you put Jake Lee, top, middle, or bottom as a champion of 2023?
If you look
and
at
and I'm not going to say bottom. Oh, okay. If you look at attendance, then.
Well, I was going to take this into two aspects. So thinking of Meltzer, the Observer Awards, they have a most outstanding, which is like the best in-ring worker, and then they have a Flair Fez Award, which is work plus drawing power plus importance type thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whereas I don't know if he gets on that list, but I think work rate wise, I would definitely put him top five, top six.
Okay.
I think
I'm down with that.
I'm not putting him over Aoyagi.
What about him and Sonata?
I put him over Sonata.
Okay.
I'm not putting him over. I'm going Madoka Kakuta over Jake Lee. I will do that. I'm going Jake Lee over Roman Reigns.
Ooh, there we
go. Sorry, Roman, get fucked. You had 7 matches on TV this year. think about that. This guy had 7 televised matches, and people are saying he should win the Flair Fez.
But he was selling 10,000 more seats than Jake Lee was.
Was he? I mean, look at.
That Bloodline made it a spectacle from last year into the early part of until after Mania, and then it just kind of, I think, fizzled out. But people were excited that, you know, because tickets go on sale way before in advance, where, you know, they were just, I mean, they're still selling house shows at like 8,000 to 10,000.
Yeah.
And he's not even there. But like for the times that he was, they made it, the WWE kind of as a bubble into a thing because they wanted to see where this soap opera was going to go. Again, it had nothing to do with the wrestling. It was just more the storyline and all the characters that were involved. That's all.
So let me give you 2 caveats to that. Is when he wasn't there, did the business ever stop?
No,
they kept doing just fine. And did he really sell tickets at the beginning of the year? Was that Sammy and Cody?
It was definitely Sammy and Cody Rhodes after the Rumble, for sure.
Because those were his best matches.
But he was a part of that, though. That's what I'm saying. Roman was a part to both of those things. So, I mean, can't brush him aside.
No.
But people liked
also
that entrance. People liked him and the Cousins. People liked that. It wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but it worked.
No,
it works for that company.
I'm not saying it's not over, but what I'm saying is I can't put somebody in a category that had 7 matches and 2 of them were tags. He had 5 title defenses in a calendar year. They had 4,500 tickets out for the October 14th house show in Kansas City, and they added Roman against Sami Zayn for the Universal title, and they only added 900 tickets with adding Roman. That didn't, okay. So that to me tells me he's cooled off. And you definitely cooled off Sammy because you didn't use,
turns at Survivor Series.
Somebody was like, well, they drew 15,000 fans in Arena Mexico. That's because Rey Mysterio was the main event against Roman. It wasn't Roman. That's Rey Mysterio selling those tickets. I'm sorry.
I still think it's a little bit of both. I definitely agree it's been cooled off. I mean, it's not, you know, I watched the majority through YouTube clips. I haven't taped a Raw, SmackDown, NXT Up, or, you know, anything, or Level Up, or any of that shit. Velocity in many years. So, I mean,
Velocity.
But again, you can't discredit, you know, kind of the whole past 3 years. I think the title reign, I think it's bullshit. You know, I think, you know, omitting Bob Backlund out of this aspect is interesting, you know, because technically if he does beat Hogan, he's still number three.
Mm-hmm.
He's not number two, you know, behind, you know, Bruno there. So,
but
I think, again,
people...
more of the... Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. There's people that are saying he should win this over, like, Will Ospreay.
Was Ospreay moving tickets, though?
Ospreay,
he did in Chicago. He did for Impact for that weekend.
He
sold that bitch out.
He main evented and sold out the Copper Box for Rev Pro twice.
Yeah.
He's main evented a Dome. He was a big part. I feel like on, you know, I mean, it definitely helped that he worked Wembley. I think that would have probably sold itself to begin with, though. But that's kind of like
he wasn't announced. So what, 3 weeks before?
Maybe. But
I
also look at that.
I don't think it boosted that many tickets.
Just like you can't say Roman got boosted, or him and Owens boosted ticket sales, or him and Cody boosted tickets. WrestleMania and Royal Rumble would have sold out no matter who's on the card.
Agreed. Same thing with the Dome. I mean, they're going to sell those tickets
regardless. So,
but putting him in Omega, that's different.
So you now take away two of his five title matches because they would have sold. And Sami Zayn sold Elimination Chamber out.
Well, yeah, it was his home country.
So now you've gotten rid of three of his five title matches are not him selling. That's why I just can't put him as up there. That's why I say Jake Lee, as shitty as it might be, at least he was there and working and defending. He had as many title matches, I think, in 6 months. And he didn't even come into the company. He came in after the year started. And no one doesn't even fucking run shows like we just talked about. You know?
I'm not a Roman Reigns apologist or anything.
No.
But it's just...
They're doing
business. They're doing business like it was 20... Not to the extent of 25 years ago. But it's been a long time since the E has been. And they're not even doing... You know, big ratings, like Fox said, they're like, they weren't giving us what we were expecting, you know, from our investment. That's why we dropped them. You know, they're still going to get, you know, a deal within a, you know, with a streamer or with, you know, some company for Monday Night Raw. I mean, the CW, like we said, they're already getting what, a couple hundred thousand, I think I read for over 5 years to make it, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think for them as a whole to kind of over the last couple of years to turn that, Reigns has to, you know, be accumulated for a lot of that because he's definitely given a lot more, I would say, than your PWI wrestler of 2023, Seth Rollins. That's
well,
for
and,
sure.
And I think, too, what hurts his case is he's in the same boat that I think a guy like Mystico is, which I really wish I could watch CML because I can't go to a Discord or I can't go to listen to a different podcast without everyone talking about CMLL.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying it's the company of the year. Well, I haven't seen shit. I wish I could. Well, I'm missing it. But whereas Mystico, people are putting him up there for this award.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the main event, and they're selling out Arena Mexico, like, every day.
Every day,
and
yeah.
Arena Mexico is, you know, over 10,000 fans every single weekend. Same venue, five figures worth of fans, and he's on top. I'm taking that over Roman. You know, I'm taking that over a lot of people. I can't, he's not in my top 10, and I'm probably, you know, I mean, maybe me and you are the only people that may not have him in our top 10 list because we just don't. I don't know how to watch it. I want to watch it. I hear great things. Cubs
is that
fan
Vampiro
all the time.
Or Conan?
They're AAA.
Oh, they're both in AAA. Okay.
Yeah. Although Vampiro did work Samhain or whatever.
Did he really?
Terrible.
Doing blow?
he was in the Riddle Box match with Violent J and those guys. I don't even want this. Forget I even brought it up. Just forget I talked about that.
We don't need to waste time.
That's my fault. I apologize, everyone. That was stupid. I'm taking Yuma Aoyagi over Jake Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking Alex Shelley over Jake Lee. But I mean, I'm definitely taking him over Roman and Sonata, which you could argue are the two biggest ones because it's WWE and New Japan, and I don't like either of the champions. I'm taking him over Rollins. Sorry, Rollins.
Over MJF?
Can't do that. MJF has had too many good matches and has been too consistent for me. Even with what I don't like about him, what he's done has been consistent enough, and he's had that track record. But yeah, I'll take Rollins over him. I mean, remember when Rollins won the PWI, and we're looking back and we're like, wait, this guy was working a program with Austin Theory in almost half the year. And The Miz, like, how is he Wrestler of the Year? Yeah, so I'm taking Jake Lee over the E and New Japan's three main champions.
Nice.
But I'll take Ilya Dragunov over Jake Lee. I'll take Dragunov over him.
Okay, I'm down with that.
But so I guess that would put a middle, nice middle.
Okay. A lot better than his All Japan days, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Gosh, I mean, when Tajiri got let go, he was so smart for leaving because that was the only guy that had his back in that locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so he got out. As I said, if you want, we could wait on Ultimate Party if you want to watch. That's got one of my matches of the year on it, which is getting like a 9.3 on Cage Match, the Hiromu Kazuki Harada match.
Yeah, that match I'm definitely gonna watch. Yeah, there are probably about four matches. I think when I counted there was like seven matches, but I probably would watch four out of Ultimate Party. So I mean, you could run through the results if need be.
We could stash it for next week. Let's close with Gate of Destiny.
Okay. Did we talk Power Struggle?
We had kind of touched on it, but we didn't get fully into it. I didn't know if you wanted
to. I like this show a lot. I will say this was a really, really fun.
So let me say this for Power
Japan
Struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the opener and the main event, and I would like to watch the rest of the show. So
then
what
we'll
if we
put it with the Ultimate Party aspect then? Yep.
So you'll watch Ultimate Party, I'll watch Power Struggle, and we'll open next week with both of those. That's where we'll start. Well, they'll get time before we even get into full gear, we'll say. We'll make sure they don't get bumped. But I think we can talk Dragon Gate. I don't know if you got to check any Dragon Gate.
I did not, unfortunately.
So I think it was a really good show. I think it arguably has the best Dreamgate match, but I think it's worth talking about just because their Korakuen had a really big angle. They set up two big matches for the December 5th, I think it is, Korakuen, and then Final Gate's coming up. So I think it's worth just digging in because there's going to be, like, every weekend there's going to be a show or two on the network coming up for the rest of the year, I think. And I think we're going to get too far behind if we don't go into it.
Okay.
But Dragon Gate did the Gate of Destiny. This was on November 5th. So just a couple weeks ago. I want to see match time. So I just want to pull up the cage match on it. It was in the Edion Arena. They drew 2,400 fans. So a decent crowd too, which was nice. The main event's getting a 4.5, so a 9 out of 10 on cage match. So that's kind of where I had it. But opening match, Gold Class Ben K, Kota Minoru, and BB Hulk defeated Genki Horiguchi, Mondai, Ryu, and Kagetora. Ben K hit Ryu with a jackhammer, went 2.5.
Oh, nice, nice.
Then we had the Brave Gate title match. Ryoya Tanaka, he's one of the 2023 class kids, never won a match. He ended up, he was in a battle royal that Genki won, and Ishin got in Genki's face saying, "You can't win the Brave Gate, you're too old. You already had your run, you know, a couple years ago at the, you know, Shino retirement show when you won it from Kagetora or dropped it, however that went." And he picked Ryota Tanaka to take his spot actually in the match. This dude who had never won a match gets a title match in his hometown. Ishin does get Ryota Tanaka says, I'm going to pull something out you've never seen and I'm going to win. And he hits a Stardust Pressed on Ishin out of nowhere.
Wow.
As he celebrates with the arms up, Ishin rolls him up in a crucifix and retains the title. Awesome finish.
You can build that dude's career just off of that finish.
So Dragon Gate, as per Dragon Gate, taking care of, you know, the young guys, doing it right.
So question, did I hear you right? The first match you gave, what, 2.5?
Yep.
And that involved Kota Minoura, Ben Kay, and a rejuvenated BB Hulk over the last couple of years?
It was a 4-minute match.
Really?
Yeah, it was 4:23 was the time.
Have they given up on Ben Kay?
No, he's part of the Reiwa 6, which I think is in my angle of the year.
Okay.
Which we'll get into that. Yeah. I went 3.75 on the Brave Gate. Then we had Z-Bratz, Shun Skywalker, your boy Hyo, and Kai defeating M3K, Masaki Mochizuki, Mochizuki Jr., and Yoshiki Kato. Where Yoshiki Kato, he was the young guy who beat Punch Tominaga in his first match when he was on a trial series, and he beat him with the Luger torture rack, and everyone's freaking out about this guy. he turns on Mochizuki Jr. and said, "I've hated you since we trained together. You're a bitch. You're just a daddy's boy." And last year at the Gate of Destiny, Ishin turned on Mochizuki Jr. So 2 years in a row, Gate of Destiny gets turned on by his classmates. Yoshiki Kato joins Z-Bratz and goes with Skywalker and them.
Oh, nice.
Just like Ishin did. Bastard. So that was cool. Then we had the team of Ultimo Dragon, Luis Monte, Naruki Doi, Shuji Kanda, and Eita! Defeating Natural Vibes, KZ, Strong Machine J, Jason Lee, UT, and Jackie Funky Kame. Diamante with the Malta on Jackie Kame to get the win.
Natural Vibes, that's a murderer's row of talent right there.
Yeah, it's so cool. Jason
Lee, Strong Machine
J, up.
The Strong Machine J, did he break dance?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. I was loving it. It was great. Supposedly, too, Luis Monte was going to just be still be Diamante without the mask because his father said, "You will be Diamante now that I'm retiring." That's how he got the mask to begin with. And Ultimo, apparently at a Korakuen show, which I didn't know about this before he left on the injury or when he first came back, pulled the same shit he did with Mochizuki Jr. when he was supposed to be, I think he was just going to go off his real name, Ryoto Mochizuki. And he goes, "You will be Luis Monte," and then named him just like he did Mochizuki, and that's why he's not Diamante.
Wow.
So Ultimo comes out at it again after the Korakuen show and is just naming people again. Jay Church and Ho Ho Loon, they are like, "We're going to just call him Diamante because that's what he wants to be called, not what Ultimo is calling him." So, they're even against it.
They said it on commentary, huh? That's
awesome. Yeah, they said that. They said, "You can't let him run out there because he's going to change people's names."
He's pulling his best Kawama impression, apparently.
Triple Crown or Triangle Gate title match. Dragon Kid, Yamato, and ironically, the Punch Tominaga retain the titles, defeating Don Fuji, Takashi Yoshida, and because obviously they're in Osaka, the home of Osaka Pro, the Bodyguard.
Yeah.
They stole the Triangle Gate titles, where Don Fuji came out wearing a ski mask but still had his Dragon Gate tracksuit on, and Commissioner Saito was like, "You're just Don Fuji. Go give those titles back." And Don Fuji's like, "No, I'm not." So that's kind of how they set up the match. And Cyber Kong, Takashi Yoshida, he's wearing a ski mask with a sweatshirt on, and Saito's like, "I know you who you two are."
What if they were the devils in AEW?
That'd be so, if it's Don Fuji. Gucci. I'm going to drop kick everybody I see on Saturday.
Because the body types are so similar, but that'd be perfect if they edited it where it was like them taking off the mask. Perfect.
People in the crowd are like, what the fuck? And then there's three people like, holy shit, stop moving.
Cybercar.
Everyone else is like, what? I don't get it. They bring back Magnitude Kishiwada. He's one of them too.
Would that be the only time where if they were revealed that they wouldn't get in AEW pop because 94% of the people would be like, what?
You'd get like two guys in the nosebleeds clapping like crazy and like
it
somebody
would be
like
us
sexy
in hologram form.
Yeah. We're like, oh my God. And then there's the guy in 104 like giving us a thumbs up like, holy shit, it's Doug Fuji.
Nah, I go hyper fucking Cyber Kong. That's my dude. My doppelganger.
Yeah. Then we had the Twin Gate title matches, or title match. Susumu Mochizuki and Yoshitsune Kanda of M3K are defeated by D Courage's Yuki Yoshioka and Dragon Daya.
Wow.
Dragon Daya.
Well, that's tight. He's getting his win.
We good match. Nice back and forth. They had some D Courage had some awesome tag stuff. Finally, Yoshitsune Kanda went for something on Yoshioka and Yoshioka dropped him. Blind tag happened, and then we got a 450 splash from, and he gets the three count and takes the title for a D Courage.
Finally worked out perfect.
And then the main event, 4.5 for me. Madoka Kikuta defeats Big Boss Shimizu with a rolling lariat. He gave Shimizu probably 15 clotheslines, and every one of them were just disgusting. I'm going, man, I'd be sick of taking that shit. But
I
he hit
felt bad for his shoulder.
He hit a Big Boss, or he hit one of those the shot put slams on Kikuta, mm-hmm. and I thought we were getting a title change.
Nice.
I thought for sure it was changing. But it's been a great feud. I kind of think Shimizu should have won.
Mm-hmm.
Has
he ever been Open the Dreamgate champion?
No.
Man. I'm not going to lie. That would have been nice. But like you said, Kikuta's having a really good run since capturing the title earlier this year. But man, yeah, I wouldn't have been mad, but I think this would have been the wrong incarnation for Shimizu to win the title.
Yeah. It's well, and
maybe less gimmicky, I would say.
Well, you know, and I guess part of what it is too, where you can see with the whole angle was mm-hmm. Dragon Gate was doing this big angle that, you know, at what was it, Dangerous Gate, after it was all over, we got the Reiwa 6, as they call them, for Dragon Gate, which was, you know, it stands for the Big 6, which Madoka Kikuta said it's myself, Shun Skywalker, Kota Minora, Ben K, Yuki Yoshioka, and Strong Machine J. We're the Reiwa 6. We're the Big 6 now in Japan, in Dragon Gate. So that was the big angle. And then from there, Big Boss went through and beat every single one of those guys to get the shot at Kikuta.
Nice.
So it was built up perfectly.
Ran it down.
I thought another Kikuta versus another babyface continues to be confusing, but it's fine, I guess. I thought if you were going to do with Shimizu, this was the time, and they didn't do it, and you know, it is what it is. But you know, like I said, that's the Reiwa 6. You know, that's the Big 6, as they're calling it now, those young guys. And the last time we got a Big 6, they were pretty much right about all of them. You know, the Shima declared the first ever Reiwa 6 was Shingo, Yoshino, Yamato, Doi, BB Hulk, and Akira Tozawa.
Yeah, they were
and
not
all
wrong.
Of those guys. And this was at Kobe World 2013, I believe, when Shima lost the Dreamgate to Shingo. I believe is when they when he made that announcement or declared them, I should say. So 10 years later, Kakuta gives us the next big six, you know, and I agree Skywalker is there. I agree about Ben Kay. I think as long, now that they've kind of figured out Gold Class, I agree as well with Minoru. We mm-hmm. both said Yuki Yoshioka had a nice title reign as champion. Yep. And he showed in that match, in his title match he had, Strong Machine J showed he can go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw that in that Dreamgate title match. So that's where I thought it was going to be a perfect story. He runs through the Reiwa Six, and then one of them ends up shooting Skywalker's the guy to beat him to come back and get the victory, and you can run it later. But, it is what it is. It's a great match. I'm not mad about it. But I will say it ties in so good with on the 9th, they ran Korakuen, which is when we got the Z-Brats 4-on-1 handicap versus Luis Monte match, which obviously if that's the way you're headlining the show, something's got to come of it. You know, they're doing all this shit. Monte wants Skywalker. I kind of want that at Final Gate, but I kind of don't want them to blow it off, and I kind of wish they could save it where Skywalker wins the Dream Gate, and they do Skywalker and Diamante for the Dream Gate at Kobe World, because I think that would – I think they could get 4,000 or 5,000 fans for that. I really do. But what was awesome, and they're being called, their team name is being called Big Hug right now, which I don't know if that's what the faction's going to be called or if this is just because they don't know what else to call it, but they're being called Big Hug right now. But Monte's fighting through everything. He's fighting through them all, and 4-on-1's just been too much. And Skywalker's yelling at everybody. He's yelling at Hyo. He's yelling at Ishin. He's yelling at Kai. You know, why haven't we beat this guy yet? Da-da-da, he's going nuts. He's pushing everybody around. He's, you know, you can tell he's getting pissed that he's not, you know, they can't beat Luis Monte. Skywalker gets Monte, and Hyo comes in with the bag of powder that he always does. And Diamante ducks, and Hyo shakes his head and goes, no. And he powders shooting Skywalker. The place goes nuts. They went batshit. You would have thought TN Revolution was making his re-debut. Place goes nuts. Monte gets a roll-up on, I can't remember who he gets it on. Oh, he hits a Frankensteiner on Kai. Gets the victory. After the match is over, they're across the ring, and you see them both smile, and Hyo runs full speed and jumps into Diamante's arms, and they hug, and the place goes nuts. Hyo turns babyface, says, fuck you, Z-Brats. Goes with his boy Diamante, and now your guy Hyo has left Z-Brat and is part of a Big Hug, as those two have been called so far.
Wow.
That blew my mind right there. I loved the Hyo face turn. Never saw it coming. I thought it was going to be Kai that would turn, but Hyo does it. He powders Skywalker. Shit goes off the deep end. We set up for their next show in Korakuen, which I think is December 5th, but I could be wrong. But it's going to be on the network for sure with English commentary. Kai is facing Diamante, and Ishin is defending the Brave Gate against Hyo on that show.
Wow.
So
wow.
Brave Gate is coming in hard going for the end of the year. And the big eight-man before it was Dragon Daya, Madoka Kikuta, Yuki Yoshioka, and joining D. Courage, the man who faced Ishin and lost on that roll-up, Ryoya Tanaka is now a member of D. Courage. So another young guy has been put into a faction just like Kato to Z-Brat. And they were beat by Natural Vibes, which makes me wonder, are we going to get Kakuta Strong Machine J continuing the Reiwa 6 at Final Gate, or are we going to get Kakuta and KZ at Final Gate?
That's tough, man. I think KZ is your safe veteran answer. But I think Strong Machine J, ooh.
I would love him and Kakuta.
I think you go him and KZ.
Are you cheering
that's
for KZ?
Really tough. I mean, I'd like for him to finally win the Brave Gate Championship.
I do too.
To be fair.
I do too.
Has he garnered enough traction besides being the leader
and not being the focal point of Natural Vibes this year. But, like, I don't know, does that signify him turning on his own faction if Strong Machine J does get that shot before him? I mean, that could lead something or plant something, because I think KZ, he's got to do something new. I think you have enough breakdancers on your squad now where you can kind of be like, all right, I'm older, I'm more mature, I want championship gold, enough of this, you know, choreographed shit. And I think a lot of people would be pissed and sad, but I think that if you want to turn him, I'm not saying it's necessary, because he could do this gimmick for another 5 years and it would be fine. But I think to get him out of that, to get him out of that sunken place, if you will, that wouldn't be a bad, you know, kind of way to kind of step into that direction if need be.
I think if you're turning KZ, you either have to be ready to have another heel faction either debut, or you got to break up Z-Brats then and let KZ run.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, but, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a team of, like, you know, Yoshiki Kato's, he's the young guy, so he can take the pins. Put a rando person, give me a rando, I don't know. I'm trying to just think of Cyber Kong. There you go. Give me Cyber Kong, and then put KZ and Shin Skywalker in there. And go ahead and put Ishin in there, too. Go ahead and put Ishin in there. There you go. There's a beautiful little fact.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, that's really nice.
And by the way, in the talks of how I was mad about the Roman Reigns wrestling thing, or Jake Lee's defense, well, not even Jake Lee's thing, but the Roman title, the Roman matches. Do you know how many matches Strong Machine J so far has had in 2023? So far, I say, because it ain't over.
I'm going to go 78.
129 matches.
Jesus Christ. And one of them was that power struggle.
This is why I say behind New Japan, Dragon Gate's the number one promotion, because they run like the WWE. And they also got extremely popular. They're like the first company to not be based out of Tokyo, too, which I think is even more impressive.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
The other place out of Kobe. Dragon Gate, just like All Japan, coming out here all cylinders to end this year. I was very happy with it. I still think Shimizu, for match of the year's sake, Shimizu and Kikuta is worth watching. I think it might be my second favorite match behind the Strong Machine J Shun Skywalker match, which I believe I gave a full five to. That was back in February, I think. Let me just for Shiats and Giggles. I thought it Dragon Champions. Here we go. March 5th, 2023, Champions Gate in Osaka. Shin Skywalker via Jackknife pin. Strong Machine J, 5 stars. Full five on that.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, and then it's got my cheat sheet of how where I brought up to Jordan how from 1996 to 2008, I tried to prove to him that Jay-Z was not the number one hip-hop artist from 96 to 08, which is shocking to people. And I have written down valid reasons as to why every year why he wasn't number one. I can't believe I forgot I had that list on here.
Well, Pac and Biggie were alive for one more year.
Yep, I had Pac 96, Biggie 97. In 98 and 99, he was outsold three straight albums by DMX.
I mean, Blueprint was really the one. I mean, you have Hard Knock Life with Volume 2. Volume 3, I think, is a very underrated album. But yeah, Blueprint is what really blew him in. Well, no, Annie blew him into the masses. But, I mean, that's when people really took notice, because it was a 5-star album. Can I get a love?
2000, Nelly and Eminem both went diamond, so that's how they won the year.
Damn, Nelly went diamond?
Mm-hmm. 01 was Ludacris, Area Codes, Rollout, all that. 02, Eminem with another diamond, and Nelly sold 7 million. 03 was the 50 Cent year. And then you had, and then there was the retirement time. Came back in 06, and that was TI's year. 07 was graduation, and 08 through 2011, every year was Lil Wayne dominating the charts. So it's like, it's just a crazy stat that he never had the highest selling album any of those years. It's just wild to think that.
Oh, no, I could have, yeah.
I'm just like, me personally, I was like, wow. So I was like, I got to write these notes down.
Wait, so Shun Skywalker, I forgot, was champion 3 years ago.
And he was champ this year, too.
Well, correct. Yeah, I know he was this year, but I can't believe it took him. I thought he was champ way sooner than that, like almost 2 years to the day.
Didn't he go on that excursion?
Yeah, because it was post-COVID. So it was during the early stages. But yeah, November 2020 through August of 21. I totally forgot Eita was heavyweight.
That's right, because he fucking lost it to Yamato.
Yeah, because he lost it to Yamato.
Remember, we're like, he's, because I remember I...
Because that was my next question to you, was why the fuck did he lose it to Yamato?
Remember I was in my receiving, and it was like the week before it, and I was like, Yamato's going to beat him. And you're like, yeah. What? So I was like, dude, I think Yamato's going to beat him. Because he beat KZ on night one. And then on the Speed Star final, he got the Yamato. Because Yamato beat Kota Minora.
That's right.
And then he goes and fucking, I couldn't believe that.
But then Kai rectified that by having a long-ass title reign. So.
Because he made his debut on the stage after the Eita match at that show,
because
that was when they ran Kobe World in November that year. I'm looking back at this now that you brought it up. Shun beat Benkei, he beat Kaito Ishida, wow, Kazuma Sakamoto, and then unfortunately that stoppage against Kikuta, and then he beat KZ. That's a hell of a run.
Yeah.
Ishida, we've always been a mark of. Benkei, we've loved. And Kazuma was so good at the end of his Dragon Gate run.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Shun and KZ work, it's always good.
Great. Oh, gotcha. For sure.
like they're one of those guys where like every company has that pairing of, oh, we need to have a banger match. Let's just put those two together. It'll work.
Wow, I guess you're all right, man. On my birthday, 11 years ago, so July 27, 2012, who won the Tenryu Project International Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship?
I Shun Skywalker, I don't know.
Satoshi Kajiwara and Katsuhiko Nakajima.
Oh,
so you are totally right about the whole junior thing. That baffles the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see him as a junior. That's why. It's because that slap is fucking mighty. That
yeah,
slap
well, it doesn't
is
help
that
he hits like he's eight. Yeah, yeah, like he's out there like Deontay Jesus. Wilder and shit.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But if like I said, when they had that initial six man, Miyahara towered over Kano and Nakajima. Even Aoyagi did. Look.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when he was standing next to Sawama, it was like game over. You know? But it also doesn't help that Kento Miyahara's back is like the size of a fucking couch cushion.
It's just, yeah, it hovers over his own head.
like when I took that picture with him and he put his hand around my back, so I went to do the same, and I'm like, I don't know where this ends. There's so much beef and muscle right here. And he's just thick. He's just a thick boy.
Does Becky Lynch not answering one single question correctly on Celebrity Jeopardy? Do you
Are
think
you
that
serious?
Affects? Yeah, she did not answer one question correct. Does this mean, what does that mean for her wrestling career? Do you think that'll be injected in her storyline? Do you think the fans will turn on her and call her stupid? Or does it not matter whatsoever?
Power still, yeah. You made us look like shit.
You're going to be the numbskull. The dimwit Becky Lynch. She got no questions right.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Celebrity Jeopardy, man. Celebrity Jeopardy.
Oh my God. That's like what was I gonna say? That's like watching some of those people in the challenge where you're just like, how do you not? Some of those people are so bad at trivia every single time.
Oh yeah, like, isn't
Darrell never gets the question right, or Corey or one of those guys?
Yeah, because one of them finally. Oh, Nelson.
Yes, there you go.
Then Nelson got it right. Everyone was like, oh, because he was like 23. He got incorrect.
And he's always like, oh, no, it's trivia time.
But the last time he was on, man, I was like, oh, my God, he might win this. I was like, this is the biggest underdog story. And then everything was right in the world, and he collapsed. And
did you watch Wednesday or yesterday's show or whatever it was?
I have not, no.
Pretty good.
I did not like the two episodes back to back. I thought I would have, but I was just like, eh.
You know what it was? I think it was weird because it was almost like they were one episode.
Yeah, it just didn't really. I like the concept. I know, you know, I wish they didn't spoil that Jordan comes back in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Like, I knew it was. I
like,
knew,
it's going to be surprises, but guess what? It's Jordan. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I was watching him go, why don't you just say that next week is, or just tease that next week is when the vets come back? Because then it's like, cool. Then we don't know who's going to show up. And then they, spoiler without being a spoiler then, because this doesn't ruin anything. When they're getting ready to, when they're like, here's where everything changes. And everyone's like, oh my God. And they show the back of the jacket. And right before they go to commercial, he turns, and you're like, oh, I see his face. And then it goes to commercial. You're like, that's stupid.
Oh, I see his hands. Whoops.
Yeah, like you did this on the fucking preview, too.
I see less fingers.
Yeah.
But hey, that guy is stronger and smarter and a millionaire more than me. So kudos to Jordan West.
I've been a full fan of his since he beat that guy I hate, the big baby guy on the tug of war. I can't really guy's name.
Yeah. Who, Fessy or Josh?
Josh, thank you.
Oh, man. Josh. I did something. I don't know. I feel bad. I'm going to cry now because
I'm going to cry because that's how I deflect. Here we go.
He looked cool, though, the last season he was on. I was like, oh, he looks respectable.
And when he had, like, the braids and stuff?
Yeah, and then he opened his mouth, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, because he still talks like he can't.
What's on that banana?
I just swallow my tongue the whole time and don't move it.
I don't know what to do. And then he just slams bananas, just rips them apart. Like that's the thing, Josh. Like, you are no one's friend. Like, they say you're their friend, but no one fucking likes you. I can't even imagine how he was on Big Brother. I've never watched a second of that show, but I could not imagine to be in the house with that guy.
I've seen one season, and that was the celebrity one, and that was it.
The sexy podcast that you guys did.
I think it was only like four episodes. By the way, there was a show on the 14th from the 666 promotion, and it was called Shinjuku 2 Chom Pro Wrestling Petite Micho Mix Day.
Was Sinister Minister doing cocaine on that show too?
Yep, probably.
Hope so.
So next week, Full Gear, Ultimate Party, Power Struggle, and we gotta talk Hall of Fame still, because the ballot.
Oh yeah.
Still haven't been released yet, so it still hasn't been spoiled yet.
Hey, if you're not doing, depending on my Sunday and how I feel, I mean, if you're not doing football, I mean, you have Sydney though. Never mind.
Yeah, but I always get Sydney home by like 6:30, so I'd be home by. Like
oh 6:30. Yeah, no, that's my early day because I have to get up early on Monday.
Well, not if you can't go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking that, like, oh, before football, but yeah, no. Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, theoretically, I could get up before football and do it, and then we just got to hear, Dad, come look at the way I got this you know, he's screaming.
He's going to be like, Dad, look at these votes I'm putting in. And we're like, oh, shit.
Dad, I voted for Shingo. Attaboy. Attaboy.
Oh, I'm happy. So they stopped doing where it leaves the network, huh?
Dragon Gate? Yeah, it's a month now.
Awesome, because I was you were like, well, watch it, and I'm like, I don't think I can, man. Like, and then it's still on there, so that's awesome. I will definitely have to check that out because you hyped it up. I love me some Dragon Gate. I felt like I've fallen out of Dragon Gate this year. You know, more inconsistent than the last couple of years, but excited to kind of see some of this shit, and I'm excited to see Dragon Dire win some tag team.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So.
That's the other reason too. Like I like the DDT or the Dragon Gate, but also it's a way you can get some DDT in, since we talk about how we always wish we did more DDT.
That's right. Yeah. Shout out to Mao, my favorite in the world.
Yeah, Mao Cardona was pretty fun. That was a fun little match. But yeah, telling you that Hirata Hiromu match is in my top 10. Like, why that one, you gotta, like, when the bell rings, don't stop until the next match gets its preview video.
Like,
just keep watching. It's awesome. It's so good. And
we'll talk.
The best part about all of it too, I think, in my opinion, is Hiromu looks like he belongs in DDT. This dude. He genuinely, when you watch this, are going to go, this motherfucker is having the best time of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's having so much fun, and he fits
the Hiromu of old,
so
2017.
Perfect. Yeah, it's like I've never wanted to see him more in DDT than right now.
Awesome.
So it's fun. It's fun.
I'm excited. Shout out. We'll talk a little bit more, as Ryan stated, next week with DDT Ultimate Party. But Saki Akai ending her 12-year wrestling career, primarily with DDT and Tokyo Joshi Pro, part of one of my favorite factions of the 20 knots of eruption. Just badass. And, you know, she made that Gwen Stefani song tight as hell. But wish her well on her retirement. She was a force to be reckoned with. She had the respect of her peers all around, Piro and Joshi. Shinsuke Nakamura even sending out a video apparently at Ultimate Party. So very happy she legit gets her flowers as well as leaving her boots in the ring. And just thank you, Saki Akai.
There is two... if anybody's curious as to what it is, or for when you get to it, you know, they have like a bunch of videos they play from wrestlers talking, you know, like thanking her for her career and stuff. And then they mute one and they only show her face the whole time. And it's because on the big screen, it's Shinsuke Nakamura with the Raw logo behind him, praising her. So it's muted on the feed, and you don't even see who's talking. You just watch her face reacting. But there's a ton of videos on Twitter of people posting the Nakamura part.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. That's wild.
Yeah, it's really cool. I was trying to figure out who that was, and then Doof was just – he lives on Twitter, and he's like, holy shit, I think I figured out who that person was, because I watched DDT with Doof and Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And – I was like, holy shit, Nakamura did one. That's really cool. But since it's got the Raw logo and stuff, they can't show it. But
yeah, booty, booty, booty.
Even though the Saito brothers on their feet are coming out to docking. Like, you probably should mute that, like the other stuff you mute.
Yeah, docking would be someone that would fight for royalties. So. What you got coming up on Strong Style Media Network tomorrow night there, Ryan?
Tomorrow, WrestleCast Radio / Strong Standing 8 Count, kind of combine the two for the minimal time being. We are going to break down our mid-year awards, so Offensive Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Defensive Rookie of the Year, Comeback Head Coach, and MVP in the National Football League, along with our mid-season mock draft. So we're doing an entire first-round mock draft of where – we see who going where at this point in the season. Also talk some NBA with the the in-season tournament. I want to touch on how Karl Anthony Towns is a hoe, and couldn't believe watching Draymond choke Rudy Gobert, and he just stood there going, "Hey, let him go. What are you doing?"
I was about to ask you, who would you prefer to see choked out, Gobert or Towns?
I would have rather seen Towns get choked out and Gobert not help him, just like Towns didn't help him. Gobert
would have
punched
the shit out of him.
Yeah, he would have. Draymond
Green. He would have fixed his teeth.
He would have smoked Draymond with a two-piece.
Yeah.
Instead, Towns is just hugging them. Guys, yeah, I'm Towns. Right. And he's playing really good, too, which is great. But he's still such a bitch. But
yeah, I still think 3-4 years ago was the best trading opportunity for him.
Yeah. I think right now the best thing we could get is like OG Anunoby and a first rounder from Toronto. Which OG Anunoby, to be fair, guarded the best player on the opposing team more than any player in the entire league did last year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you put that defense with Towns, then, oh, my God, like, he's one of the best in the league, but it's just his defense is – and that's why they got Gobert, because the man can block.
And Jaden McDaniels was number three in that all-star list behind Anunoby, and I can't remember who was number two. It slips my mind, but
– yeah.
It's been
a fun basketball season, that's for sure.
MLB awards came out, and we had 4 unanimous award winners this year, which blows
for
my
the
mind. Gerrit Cole got all 30 votes for AL Cy Young. Gunnar Henderson got all 30 votes for AL Rookie of the Year. Shohei Ohtani got all 30 votes for AL MVP. And Ronald Acuña got all 30 votes for NL MVP.
Wow.
And I can't remember who won the NL Cy Young, but they got 28 of the 30 votes, too. So it was almost a unanimous Cy Young and MVP on both leagues, which I don't think has ever happened before.
Really?
So we'll talk that. And, you know, as we're getting towards winter meeting time, we'll talk about Ohtani, where he could end up. We'll dive into a little boxing tonight. Emmanuel Navarrete defends his title, and we also have Shakur Stevenson defending his title tonight as well in a random Thursday down at Mandalay Bay. And then also we're going to kind of talk the Showtime is officially done with boxing, like HBO was last year.
Yes.
Showtime's,
yep.
And the last card Showtime is running is at the Armory on December 15th, I think, with a David Morrell world title fight.
Whew.
So, gotta go to that. So gotta get my credentials to that.
So how was Ohtani MVP when their team was horrible? So, like, they're saying they would have lost more games?
Yeah. He had, like, one of the biggest wins above replacement, like, in the history of the league. Like,
I get that, but, like, MVP is, like, supposed to be like, hey, without this team or without him on a team, they would suck even more. Like, I don't know.
I think what you gotta look at with Ohtani is he went 10-5 and led the league in strikeouts, I believe, this year. And on top of that, he had 151 hits, 44 homers, and 95 RBIs with 20 steals. So he was like one of the runners up for the Cy Young on top of it.
Jesus. Oh, I'm not denying his talents, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just happy the Cubs are shopping for him. So,
yeah, I would love him to go Cubs or Dodgers. I think he's going to end up in like Seattle or San Francisco. I wouldn't mind Seattle because they did right with Ichiro, but I do not want him to go to the Giants.
No.
That's like the number one thing I don't want.
Cubbies.
But Cubs, I would be totally fine with.
Yeah. And then he would bust and...
No.
The overexposure and... Yeah.
No, this guy is like the man. He's... Talk about a sure thing. And like, he's still going to get
him in a Chicago uniform. And
no, don't say it
it's
that
happened
way.
In all sports.
Positivity. Positivity. Yeah, his wins above replacement last year was a 6.
Jesus.
They said next year he won't. He's probably not going to be able to pitch because he's having that Tommy Johns. But,
yeah.
Okay, cool. I still got, you know, the 44 homers, 95 RBIs, 151 hits. Oh, excuse me, I lied. His wins above replacement was a 10 last year. Excuse me. It was even better than I thought. My God. Yeah, you could argue last year was the best season any player has ever had in a season in baseball.
Oh, wow.
It's ridiculous how good he is.
Breaking news, NWA expected to make roster production cuts. I didn't know it could get worse.
Whoa, who else can they get rid of?
This weekend's NWA tapings will be running with a bare-bones crew with only contracted talent. Mike Knox and Violent J are the only wrestlers not under contract to appear.
Mike Knox and Violent J.
Violent J flies himself in and works for free.
Maybe they could sign Kenny K.I.N.G. King, who left Impact again.
No, he's the signing for Saturday.
Oh, no.
And the Powerhouse Pops is going to slap him.
Hell yeah.
All right, say goodnight, Ryan. Hey, Full Gear, this Saturday.
Hell
Future
yeah.
Report.
On the internet.
Bye,
Ryan.
Bye, Ryan.